Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can back us on Patreon at patreon.com/Ragnarok.
All the cool people do.
We here at Ragnarok would like to thank our loyal Patreon patrons like Stephen Best,
Michael Davis,
Brownie Davis,
James Burns,
Shadows,
Michael Hopkins,
Cyril Betts,
Will Wilson,
yeah, it's me,
Michael Drescher,
Carl Black,
Jimmy Jam Jam,
you're welcome,
Dead Gunner,
Severick,
Steve Ariza.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for checking out the Ragnarok pilot season. This is my game, Ameronomicon. It's a fate-based game in a setting that I created. I hope you enjoy it. It's a pulp action Cthulhu monster game. But if you like it, remember to vote for me and your other favorite pilot season game. And we're recording.
Nope.
Hopefully, real this time.
The number's going up.
It's been 7 seconds.
It's 8 seconds.
9 seconds. 3.
They were doing that last time, 11 too.
11 seconds.
12. I mean, hey, everybody. Well,
check the thing in the lower left.
It went off. The light went off. Help!
That should be counting down.
Hit the mark.
Sorry, the lower right.
Turn it off and play it back. Does it play?
The thing in the lower left just says...
Yeah, it's counting down the number. I see it.
Yeah,
the lower right.
The lower right, yeah.
Yeah,
Jesus,
I ignored...
Thing that I said after I corrected myself that you ignored...
I couldn't hear because everyone was talking.
Especially Eric.
So what do we do when that gets to zero?
It will be 2 days from now, so we've got some time to figure it out.
Welcome to a long game.
Yeah, hey everybody, welcome to another Ragnarok action play that is definitely not a replay of the game we played last week, and then something happened with our microphone and memory card that didn't record, so we're playing it again.
Well, there went that curtain.
Definitely not that. So this is my pilot season game. It's called Ameronomicon.
This guy's Alex, by the way.
Yep, this guy's me. I'm sorry, I figured I did this already. I didn't need to introduce myself again. So before we introduce everyone's characters, I'll give you guys a little setting introduction. So in 1928, this is a horror-ish game. So 1928... Relay rose up in the ocean in the South Pacific, just like in The Call of Cthulhu.
Good reason which you could read.
You could read if you want. But there were no fishermen there to hit Cthulhu in the face with their boat and put him back to sleep. So, in 1930, Cthulhu, finished waking up and left Relay and quickly took over the world within about a year. Instead of killing humanity, they enslaved them and Cthulhu rules the world. And uses humanity as cattle, more or less, to summon other elder gods and great old ones to cities where they eat a bunch of humans and then leave once they're full.
No. He doesn't milk me, right?
No, Cthulhu does not milk you.
Good.
So I do that
with cattle sometimes.
The world has been divided, governments fell, new patrollers rose up.
Someone kill me.
Well, let's see
what
happens.
Can we kill Eric instead?
I don't care. Just end it for me.
Cthulhu Starspawn are basically governors who have divvied up sections of the world, or at least North America and South America. Lots of the North are ruled by Thakwa, and you don't know what happens overseas, but there's a whole bunch of people and things that have carved up sections of the Earth for themselves. You guys live in New York under the police state.
Start spreading the news.
This game is starting in Manhattan. It is now the year 1965. This world is all you've all ever known. You grew up into it. You were not alive for the world before Cthulhu took over, as they call it, the Reclamation. Because according to the texts that you were taught in school, the world always belonged to Cthulhu. He just went to sleep for a while, and then humanity grew in the meantime, and so he took his planet back.
It's like when I go to sleep at night, and overnight my triangles take over the house, but then when I wake up, it's mine again.
Right, exactly. Except if your triangles were a few billion people, and you were an immortal elder being.
No, he took a nap so his food source could regroup, resupply.
Well, when Cthulhu took his nap, humanity didn't exist. Yeah. And then the Shoggoths evolved, and now we have people.
Just wakes up. What the fuck are those? I own them now.
They're tasty.
Basically.
When did I get those?
Yes, they're my pets now.
Yep. So, if you want a comparison, think kind of Man in the High Castle, except it's elder things instead of Nazis. So, technology kind of stalled out in the 1930s when Cthulhu rose up, so everything has an Art Deco aesthetic, very kind of diesel punky, because I like it. So why don't we start by introducing your
cast? I'm playing Lewis Lancaster, who is a pragmatic doctor.
Oh, wait, Maya broke the new mic. Okay.
It's brand new and it's already broken.
It's crying?
Yeah, it doesn't know what it got itself into.
What does the sad microphone icon mean?
He's a pragmatic doctor. He's a family man. He's trying to get his wife and newborn child to a remote cabin, so he doesn't, they don't get eaten at some point.
That's good, yeah. Alright. Who's next?
I guess I'll go next. Hey, everybody, I'm Ryan. I'm going to be playing Angelo Franchetti. Angelo goes by the nickname Charlie Chains. He is a hitman for Murder Incorporated, which is still a thing because they were never broken up in the 40s. He is very tall and imposing. He wears a very ill-fitting, kind of too tight around his arms and shoulders, pinstriped Italian cut suit. He has impeccably shined leather shoes, dark pomaded hair, neatly trimmed mustache, and cold and distant hazel eyes. He is a big guy who kills things for the mafia, and his background is that the great old ones killed his parents and left him orphaned, and he was pretty much adopted by a local mafia boss, and he is related to, or were you going to ask about that later?
No, you can say it there.
All right. He is an informant for Jackson Elias, who writes true crime stories, and he, you know, gives him material.
I'm Eric. Hello, everybody. I'll be playing Marty McGraw. He is a police officer. He's not crazy about being a police officer because he's not really a big fan of the goos, as you call them.
My goos! My precious goos!
But he does his job, you know, he trains well, he is very capable at his job. But he does sympathize with the resistance against the goos, but he keeps that quiet as he wants to keep his job.
And his life.
Yeah, that too. The job more. He's about 6'3". He's fairly like good physique. He's very athletic. He's a great marksman. He's very good with his gun. They call him Quick Draw McGraw. And that cartoon hasn't been invented yet in this game, so I invented it.
Yep. Are you Hanna or Barbara?
My wife is Hanna.
Okay.
I don't have a wife.
Or a barbara.
That's my barber.
Alright, Chris.
Oh, alright, then I'm playing Simon Stone. He is unkempt, wide-eyed, and he's missing his left arm from just below the shoulder. Hair is tapping lemonade. Sorry, distracted. It's about it, though, anyway. He doesn't like the goose because they ate his arm.
You two should say what your relation to Jackson Elias is, too.
Oh. Jackson covered my past to protect my future. So he, he kind of helped me get this police officer job by covering up for me being like all anti-goo. He was very helpful in that.
Right, and he's the guy that saved my life when my arm was getting eaten because the thing was going to eat all of me, but stopped at the arm because it was dead.
Yep.
That's a good reason to stop.
Yeah.
I keep going, but I'm dead. And Jums?
Hi, I'm Jums. I'm playing Timothy Tundra. He's a tinkerer. He lives most of his life in a shop. He had a wife and daughter. They were very lovely, like him. He's of average build. He's a ginger. He's got no hair anywhere on his body except for his head. And he's kind of lanky, but...
Wait, no, I told Eric, you can't play a soulless monster.
Oh, damn, all right.
We're not soulless. We get souls every time we eat one from someone else. That's when we get freckles.
And what's your relationship to Jackson?
So the goos, the terrible things that they are, they ate my wife and daughter. They became a snack. So I have dedicated my life to trying to not eradicating them, but making things as troublesome for them as possible. Jackson, actually, great guy. He was able to help me build an underground bunker where I can work on secret weapons that they can't find.
Archie bunker.
Okay. And Meyer, what's your relationship with Jackson?
He's helping me plan my escape.
Oh, did you say that already?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Sorry.
If you need the bunker, Archie bunker. That show hasn't been invented in this game either. You could be a pioneer.
Isn't that a character's name?
Yeah.
The name of the show, too?
No, the show was all in the family.
Yeah, see?
Can I get a run?
But
you're dumb.
They wouldn't be able to name it.
All right, so anyway.
Because that bunker.
We're going to start with some character introductions. So why don't we start with Ryan?
Okay.
So what was the name? Uncle Vito?
Uncle Vito.
Okay. I mean, this is definitely not exactly what we did last time.
I mean, we don't have to do the same scene. I can give you
word by word.
Do you want to do a different scene?
Yeah, why not?
All right. So
I want to do the same scene.
So it is Friday. It is a Friday in April, and it is poker night. So you are all meeting at someone's house later. It's not Ed's house this time because Ed doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, I got five.
Couldn't Ed still exist and he's just not here now?
Nope.
I want to be listening to him on the radio.
Well, his character exists, so you could be listening to Hal Holbern on the radio, but you're not going to his house. You're not going to his house later.
Ed has been wiped from existence? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh.
Cool. Yeah, that's fine. So, whose place are you going to for poker later?
Oh, we're going to my bunker later.
All right. So you're going to play, place poker in James's house.
All right.
Is that the plan? James's shop? I would imagine you also have the apartment above.
Well, yeah, I have the underground bunker, which is where I make, you know, stuff for the resistance and stuff.
Also where I live.
Yeah, that's where you live. Then above that is, like, my shop where I do repairs for normal everyday people. It's like whose toaster or TV. Oh, no, they don't have TVs. Their radio broke. I fix all their appliances and things that they... And then, you know, I live above that in, like, a little... Well,
so I'm going to say the secret bunker, Jackson didn't build it for you. He helped you find it.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a secret underground still that someone made during Prohibition. So it's like left over from that. And Jackson found the building and was like, hey, this will be good for you.
Yeah.
All right. So so you're heading to... So it's Friday evening, like late afternoon on Friday.
Okay.
The plan is to get to James's place around 7, so you can start your game and finish it by curfew at 10:30. So say it's about 4 o'clock. So what are you doing on a Friday at 4 o'clock? What is Charlie Chains doing?
Giving somebody the chain.
Okay. So you're on the Lower East Side, Lower West Side. There's this old abandoned building, you know. There are some people who squat there. A few people come there to do drugs. But it's one of those places where no one really asks questions. And you've got a man bound by the wrists and hanging from rafters in the ceiling on the third floor. His shirt's off. His chest and back are covered with large bloody welts from where he's been repeatedly whipped with a chain. One of his eyes is swollen shut. He's bleeding out of his broken nose.
Please, I already told you I don't have the money.
I'm picturing that this is Will. I don't have the money.
No, Will already hurt his ribs.
I told you I have the money. I just don't want to give it to you.
So, Charlie, the camera pans around this man, bleeding and broken, hanging from the rafters, and dollies out to reveal Charlie, like in shirt sleeves, with his chain, you know, he's like wrapping it around his wrists, kind of fidgeting with it, and he kind of shakes his head and he goes, "Now that's not the answer that Mr. Carbone is looking for."
I'll get it. I promise I'll get it. I'll give it to you next week.
I'm not very confident that you can get this money for me, Jimmy. And I, takes the chain and just like loops it over the guy's neck.
Are you trying to kill him or just like scare him?
I'm trying to scare him.
Not athletics. Fight roll.
Fight. Okay.
And you get your chain. Oh, that's for damage.
I can't breathe.
All right. Not great. Two.
Two. All right. Great. Luckily, you've already softened him up a bit.
Okay.
I'll get it tomorrow. Tomorrow.
You sure, Jimmy?
Yeah. Tomorrow, definitely. I'll get it to you tomorrow. Just please don't kill me.
All right. He takes the chain. Out from off the right.
He gasps for breath.
There's like a chair with Charlie's jacket on it,
mm-hmm.
that he stands on and cuts the guy down.
He just collapses.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Don't thank me, Jimmy. Mr. Carbone still wants to be paid.
I know. Tomorrow, I'll bring it to him tomorrow.
Now remember, you don't show up with that money tomorrow. I'm gonna finish what I started here tonight.
No, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow. I swear.
It's a nice cat you're drawing, James.
Mm-hmm. So Charlie throws his chain over his shoulder and picks up his jacket. And just kind of smirks and starts walking away.
All right. So you leave him there and start heading to your friend's house. You walk out the door and start heading down the hall,
yeah,
you hear
friends.
Sobbing coming from the room behind you, which is basically what you expected.
Yeah.
It's the sign of a job well done. And as you head outside, I'm assuming you use your chain as your belt, right?
Yeah, I loop it back through my belt.
Yeah, so as you're walking downstairs, you loop your belt back through, I mean your chain back through your belt, and cinch it in place.
He's ragging on your cord, man.
And as you head outside, the camera catches a passing patrol car.
Dude, who's in that one?
Will, he's been arrested.
Oh, cool.
But in the one behind that, is Officer Marty McGraw.
That's me.
Are you driving or are you in the passenger seat?
I'm driving. I like to be the driver.
All right, so your partner's in the passenger seat.
The partner is Bobby
Boucher.
I was thinking of that.
So he looks out the window as he's driving. Jeez, look at this place, Marty. You think the higher up sort of leveled it and replaced it with something decent to look at by now?
That's talking like the town's gonna put any work into improving it.
Well, I mean, come on, we got the tower right over there. You think they'd like to have themselves a good view? So the thing I forgot to mention last time
is
that the object that dominates the skyline. No matter where you are in Manhattan, is the
giant monkey
200-story Onyx Tower that rises out of Central Park. Central Park is gated off. It's bad if you get sent to Central Park. Rumors abound about what happens inside the walls that now surround the park. Sometimes, if you're walking by at night, you can hear strange noises and howls coming from the other side. It is not a friendly place. And this tower rises taller than any building in the world. And just dominates the
even
sky.
Even taller than my house?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It's the seat of government and power for the Goos in New York and the tri-state area. Bobby Boucher.
What? I said he lives on a one-story ranch, if that's taller than that.
Yeah, I know.
I've never seen anything bigger than that.
What about a two-story ranch?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is the first story of this long story is underground, so it's not...
To be honest, guys, one time I went to a building that had four floors.
Whoa.
I don't believe you. You're a liar.
I didn't believe it either. I hit three, and then I noticed that there was a four, and I was like, no way, because the guy told me my room was on the top floor.
Do you have pictures? So,
picture didn't happen.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course I took pictures.
All right, good. All right, so as you're driving, Bobby says, "Hey, pull over for a second. I want to deal with these guys up in here."
Oh yeah, yeah. Siren on or off?
Oh God, can I have a Ryan?
Yeah.
In the Arizona.
Doesn't answer my question. Sirens on or off?
I mean, aren't you driving?
Yeah.
So answer your own question. Sirens on or off?
I leave him off for now. It's the elements of surprise.
Ah, you should just give him a little, just one whoop. Whoop.
Yeah, you give him like one whoop. Just
woo. He just said woo.
What? That's the sound of the police.
Whoop, whoop.
It's not the siren. He just sticks his head out the window. And
So you look at the two guys your partner was pointing to.
After actually pulling over, because I never describe myself pulling over. I'll roll drives to see how I pull over.
His name is Woo.
So you jump the curb
right away.
My name is Woo, you racist.
Why am I coughing so much?
I got a four to pull over.
What do you do?
He's first in the plane.
The two guys you see are dressed in denim overalls over a flannel shirt. It's April. They're wearing light jackets and hats. One of them is carrying like a metal lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
And your partner gets out and starts walking over to them. They say, "Hi, officers. Everything okay?" And your partner goes, "Well, I don't know. That depends. It looks to me like you're transporting contraband in that box there. You know, he's spoiling for a fight. He wants to just fuck these guys up."
Mm-hmm.
And they're very confused because you can tell by looking at them. They just got off their shift at work.
I'll try to talk them down out of it. I don't see any reason to just...
All right, so make a persuade
check. I'll be the good officer. Does persuade is a skill?
No, rapport. Sorry.
I don't have it.
So just roll.
Well, it's up to you.
It's exactly zero.
So what do you say to him?
Come on, Bobby. I'm sure they're just getting out of work. No reason to give them a...
Well, just because they're getting out of work doesn't mean they're not transporting illicit goods for their pals in the resistance. and one of the guys says, "Look, officer, I don't know what you're talking about." And he puts his hands up in a peaceful pose.
Right.
And then Bobby grabs his nightstick and whips it out. "Are you threatening me, sir? You saw that, didn't you, Marty? He's threatening me." He's like, "Officer, I'm not doing anything." And Bobby goes, "Sir, calm down or I'm going to have to subdue you." So what do you do?
Oh, that guy's James.
Which guy?
The guy that's threatening the officer with his lunch pail.
Yeah.
Blowing up for no reason.
Yeah,
James just like James always does.
You do.
Calm down, James.
Yeah.
You know what? Fine.
I mean, I'm not going to attack him. I want to try to talk him down. But
sure.
That's,
so that would be rapport.
I have much else to skill, good skill-wise. Whoops.
What if you yodeled while your partner beat him with a nightstick?
You don't need today. You don't need
a negative one.
The chicken would come out.
Yeah, ninja.
So what do you say?
Bobby, you're going crazy, man. Just let him be. Look, he's holding his hands up.
In a very threatening manner, and he takes his nightstick and slams it down on the guy's hand, and you hear a crack as something in his hand breaks.
Now
he screams, and then his friend with the lunchbox drops the lunchbox and goes, "Wait, what the fuck are you doing?" And he looks like he's about to attack Bobby.
All right, well, I don't agree with what Bobby's doing, but I have to stop this guy from attacking my partner.
Yeah, so make a fight check. Yeah. Unless you're going to shoot him.
No, I'm not going to shoot him.
As far as the law is concerned, you're well within your rights.
Shoot Bobby.
It's the 1960s. There's no body cameras or anything. It would be your word against theirs. And
they'd be dead.
Yes. Everyone's going to believe.
I'll take the gun out. I'll aim it at him. I'm not going to shoot.
Okay.
Hands down.
I'm going to say that's going to be provoke.
I don't have that either.
I will give you a +1 bonus for the gun.
Okay.
Why are you a cop?
Zero.
He's got no problem.
He doesn't seem to be stopping. He takes his lunch pail. He takes his lunch pail and just whams Bobby with it. And Bobby's, what the fuck? And then now Bobby pulls out his gun, and shoots the guy.
That went real well.
And so the other guy who Bobby was beating, starts running away. And Bobby turns to you and says, Jesus, Marty, get your head out of your ass! And points at the guy.
Oh, I'm surprised he didn't shoot Eric.
Shoot him, Eric.
He's waiting for Marty to shoot him.
Yeah.
Shoot Bobby.
Shoot Bobby.
It was an accident.
That won't go over as well.
Shoot him, Eric.
He's your partner. You gotta shoot the guy before
shoot
he...
Fuck it, I'll shoot him.
Wow.
All right, roll shoot.
That is a good guy.
That is a 5.
So I will
I'm lying. My dice aren't.
I will let you decide. Do you kill him or just like hit him in the leg?
Hit him in the leg.
Head it all right. Alone.
So you shoot the guy's like half a block away, and you just pull out your service revolver, aim up, and boom. You see there's people coming out of there, but once they heard gunshots, people are like looking to see what's going on. The guy screams and falls. The first guy that Bobby shot, he got shot like right in the chest. He's bleeding. He's
dead.
Dead to rights. The other guy starts grabbing his leg and screaming, but he stopped running. So you go over and arrest him.
Yes.
You gotta call.
I'm good to keep Bobby from doing anything else to him, though.
Yeah, that's fine. Bobby's appeased. Once he got hit in the head, the fun went away.
Wait, why are you arresting this guy? All he did, he got beat up, he got his hand broken.
Yeah,
his friend got shot, and then he shot him in the leg, and now he's getting arrested.
Look, I suck at role-playing, alright?
No, you did the right thing. It's an oppressive police thing.
Yeah, it's just, that guy's got the... He just got home.
Got to work.
Yeah.
He got his hand broken, his friend is dead, and then he got shot in the leg, and now he's getting arrested.
Yeah. it's an oppressive police state.
Not a good day. Right, like 5 minutes.
No, it's not a good day. Eric, you did nothing wrong.
Well, you did shoot
in game terms.
You shot a guy running away.
So you call a meat wagon to come pick him up. There's a paramedic with the, they wrap the guy's leg up. They arrest him on charges of assaulting an officer. And which he did.
No, he did.
Doesn't matter. That's what Bobby says happens. Do you back him up?
I have to back my partner up.
Yeah, alright. So he's arrested and charged with assaulting an officer. He's probably never going to see the light of day again.
I didn't do anything. He just shot me.
Yeah, he's screaming.
I'm innocent.
The coroner's coming for the other guy. Bobby gets back in the car. Come on, let's get back to the station. I had enough of this shit.
The coroner comes over. Yep, he did.
Yeah. I was not picking on you.
I've got a good one.
Keep going.
I've got a good one. Bobby, like puts his hand on your shoulder and goes, "Hell of a world we live in, right?"
Yes, that's it. Hell of a world we live in, huh? Come on, let's get back to the station and clock out. So you get back in and drive away. And as you drive, you pass. We follow the meat wagon bringing the injured man to the hospital, and you're an ER surgeon, right, Meyer?
Uh-huh.
All right, so you got a patient, gunshot victim, in the leg, and a broken hand.
What the fuck?
His other hand is handcuffed to a gurney. Oh. Apparently, he was arrested for assaulting a police officer. Mm. So the paramedics who drop him off, say fix him, but you know, if you don't, that's fine too.
Alright.
So there's this guy, he's cradling his hand to his chest as best he can. His leg is bandaged, so the bleeding has, he's not just like gushing blood anymore.
Yeah. Sir, what's your name?
Frank Jones.
Frank Lamont.
I should deal with your leg before I do with your hand. Don't be bleeding out.
Whatever. So.
You got any allergies or anything?
No. He's despondent. Also, semi-conscious because he did lose a lot of blood.
Mm-hmm. I'll treat his leg first because that's the.
All right. Yeah. So make a
priority.
Yeah. Make a medicine check.
That is a plus four.
Yeah, all right. You pull the bullet out and stitch him up. He'll be walking again in a week or so. And then with that, you also manage to set his hand. That he broke a bone and like on the side, so you set it. He screams. Then you puts a board in to hold it in place and then wrap it up. It's an awkward spot. It's a little hard to cast, but you manage to. You do the best you can. And then that's your last patient of the day. So you head home before poker. Mm-hmm. Your wife is there. She's happy to see you. She gives you a kiss. What's your daughter's name? Or is it a son?
My daughter is
a dragon.
Lily.
Lily Lancaster?
And my wife's Linda.
So Linda gives you a kiss on the cheek. Lily runs up, Daddy! And she gives you a hug. And Linda, she's like, all right. She says, Lily, go wash up for dinner. And Linda turns to you and says, as Lily goes to wash her hands.
Yeah.
So, it seems that the store ran out of meat again. So, looks like we're going to be having rice and beans for the rest of the week again. This has happened before. Food is rationed. You don't know what causes the fluctuations. Yeah. For you guys, your world is basically the tri-state area, and that's it. There's no cross-country communication. You don't know what's going on. So New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, that's basically all you know.
Oh.
So you assume the meat doesn't come from around here. Mm. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Sometimes the stores just run out of stuff. So that's what Linda says. It's going to be a little lean this week.
Okay.
They ran out of meats, but I did get three different kinds of beans. So, we can have...
And try these flavors. Mexican jumping beans.
Don't worry, you're a good cook. You'll make it work.
Thank you. Now, you two, go wash your hands. And she, like, pushes you on the back a little bit.
Go wash up.
As you're coming out, as you wash your hands, you come out, and Lily comes up and goes... Daddy, look what I made at school! And she holds up a picture. It's a drawing of Cthulhu, like, standing on top of the world.
Oh, yeah, look at that guy.
That's Cthulhu. He's the great god who rules everything.
Yeah, I know.
My teacher, Mrs. Peretti, said that it's because of Cthulhu that we have food, and we have water, and we have the sun, and we have a place to live. And we have air to breathe, and that he gives us everything.
You learn so much. You're so smart.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that is a beautiful drawing.
Can we put it on the refrigerator?
Yeah, of course we can put it on the refrigerator, no problem.
Alright, so you take it, you have a magnet.
Yeah.
You put it next to, there's a drawing of the three of you, and like a child stick figurine kind of thing. And there's one that's just scribbles, that's supposed to be like a field of flowers.
You sure you drew this? You're not lying to me, right?
What? No, of course I drew it, Daddy. Look, I even put my name on it. You see, it says a lily in the bottom.
And it's so nice you can put it on the 16th chapel.
On the what?
16th chapel, it's in Italy.
Where's that?
It's in Europe, another country very far away.
Wow.
It's a giant... And the ceiling's all just he just made a big painting on the ceiling.
Who did that?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Wow, who's that? And it goes on.
The Ninja Turtle.
So you sit down to rice and beans for dinner.
Yeah, talking about Leonardo.
Talking about Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
And as you do, you have the radio going in the corner.
Yeah.
And we hear Hal Holborn taking one last call. The camera zooms in on the radio, and it comes out of a different radio in a different place. As it zooms out, we see a dark room, dimly lit. Looks like there's one bare bulb hanging from the middle of the ceiling. Underneath that bulb is a table strewn with all sorts of components. And sweeping up, and then the camera goes up a flight of stairs. through a trap door and a rug, and we see two men standing in a shop. We see James and Chris.
Came upstairs.
Yes.
Special occasion.
Simon is pushing a push broom with one hand, sweeping up between the narrow aisles, while Timmy.
It was Michelangelo.
That's fine. You didn't learn about it in school either. They wouldn't have taught you.
So you
maybe read like one book you shouldn't have one time.
Being a learned doctor, you probably came across something that should have been destroyed but wasn't.
Yeah. And so Simon is sweeping up. Well, Timmy, what are you working on?
I'm finishing up this little detail for the resistance.
But you're upstairs, right?
Oh, I'm upstairs. Okay.
It's business hours.
Oh, it's business hours. Yeah, then I'm tinkering with something right now. Some lady got her fork stuck in a toaster.
Okay. So you got the fork out, but you're working to repair the coils because she, like, yanked it around.
Yeah, seriously, you would think these things come with a warning label to not stick things in here.
They do. As you're working on that, you have your back to the door, Simon. You hear the jingle of the bell over the top. And there's an older man comes in. He's holding a big antique radio.
Hello?
Just like every other customer that comes in, I suspiciously eye him from down on the other side of the aisle.
All right, so you're like all the way down. You stop sweeping. Just
no, I keep sweeping in the same spot.
Oh, okay.
So I'm standing still, just pushing the broom over and over and over again.
Okay.
And staring at him.
He comes over and he's like struggling with this thing. And he lifts it up, sets it down, and you thump as this heavy old radio.
Wow, that's an antique.
Oh, yes. This it's an older man. He looks like he's probably in his 60s or 70s. it belonged to my father. Yesterday it just stopped working. I don't know what happened. I checked the plug, I checked the dial, I thought maybe they turned off the radio station again, but I went to the neighbors and theirs was working, so it wasn't that, so I was hoping that maybe you could take a look at it.
Of course I can take a look at it. I'm a little booked up for the rest of the day today, but I can get to looking at it first thing in the morning.
Oh, no, that's fine. I know it's late in the day. I don't need it. It's, you know, for pleasure anyway, but... Yeah, if you could at least, you know, take a look at it and let me know what's wrong.
Oh, yeah. If you want to come by around maybe tomorrow around noonish, I can let you know about if I can fix it and how much it'll probably cost.
Oh, very good. Do you have, like, a receipt?
Oh, yes, I fill out a thing.
Yeah, you can fill out the receipt, tape a thing to it. You go to lift it up, and part of you thought that this old man was just kind of weak, but it's hefty.
I actually have to put effort into it.
Yeah, you lift it up. You have like a shelf behind you of stuff you're working on, and you set it down.
I go to put it up on the higher shelf. Lower shelf. On the bottom.
As the man turns around, he's walking out, he's like looking at all the different various objects for sale. Did you fix all of these?
Yeah. I know a guy who comes, brings in scraps, things he finds out lying around, and I either put it together, make something useful out of it, or I repair it.
So if you can't fix my radio, do you have another one I could purchase?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, great. Thank you, and he turns to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
He like shivers and quickly walks out the door.
I don't trust him.
No, I appreciate you helping out around the shop. Scaring the customers, like, it's always helpful, especially when we get those untrustful people in. But maybe not the elderly.
He wasn't trustworthy.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'll trust too easily.
Well, that's why I have you. You can warn me to. About people I shouldn't be trusting so easily.
I watched him the whole time.
I'm glad you did. Did he do anything suspicious?
I thought he was going to steal something.
Well,
or stab you.
Well, I'm glad he did neither of those things.
Not yet.
Well, he's not coming back till tomorrow afternoon, so...
I'll check him for a knife.
We'll just watch him for a knife. If he makes to go any foul deeds, then you can...
You don't want me to frisk him?
No, please, no frisking the customer.
He's not trustworthy.
I'm all right, you know what? Then next time he comes in, you just keep a close eye on him. And if he does anything out of the ordinary, then you have my permission to act.
So, Simon, how fastidious are you about, like, closing the shop on time?
On time?
Yeah.
Well, I close when the boss says to close, I guess.
Right, but like, so let's say 5 o'clock is when it closes.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the clock chime for 5 o'clock. Do you like instantly go over and turn the sign from open to close and lock the front door? Or do you just...
No, that's not my place to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I guess after hearing the clock chime, hey, listen, I'm taking a look at this radio. Can you just flip the sign for me, please?
Yes.
All right, so you walk over, flip it. It's, you know, from the open to sorry, we're closed. There's, like, the hours on the other side. You lock the door and start drawing the blinds closed on the windows. And then we're going to cut to scene two. Poker night.
Poker. You're a cute cop, by the way.
There.
Oh. He said cucumber.
Yeah, I thought he said cucumber too. I'm like, this is a pickle.
I'm Cucumber Rick.
You're a cute couple.
Yeah.
Okay. So, poker night is in James, Timothy's apartment. You tend not to host it in your secret lab because not everyone's a member of the resistance.
Yeah. So it's mainly if people stay after hours.
Yeah.
Those that are part of the resistance.
Right. So you all are there. You're waiting around. It's about 7:45. You're supposed to get started at 7:30. The last person you're waiting for is your mutual friend Jackson Elias, who is uncharacteristically late.
This is unlike him to be this late. I mean, should we just start without him? Because, I mean, like, curfew. I mean, let's face it, poker's not a short game.
Yeah, I mean, you can deal him in.
Okay.
Comes in.
So you guys got some beers on the... do you have a card table, or do you just...
It's a table I repurposed to be a card table.
Okay. So you've got your makeshift card table. It's blue instead of green, but that's the only felt you could find.
Yeah.
And so you all sit down, you crack open beers, you start dealing out the cards. And that's when you hear a frantic knock on the door.
All right, it's open. We're waiting for you. Jeez.
The door opens. So your apartment is on the second floor. There's stairs from the street that lead right up to it. So you see Jackson, all four or five of you see Jackson come in, and shuts the door behind him and locks it. He's wearing, his normal clothes, a jacket with elbow patches on it. He's clutching a big briefcase to his chest.
Well, did you bring money or are you being followed? What's up, man?
I'm sorry, I'm late. He walks in, there's a Cthulhu idol in your living room, as there is in every house. There's usually a large one on a pedestal in the main room, and then smaller ones, like how a Catholic would have crosses, smaller carvings at every other room. It is very much against the law to cover these, because you have been told that Cthulhu and his agents can look through any of them at any and all times.
Can mine be cheap knockoffs that I made so that they're not real?
Technically, yes, but if the police come by for an inspection and see that, you would be arrested.
Ah, okay.
But if you want to say that they're cheap knockoffs, you can do that.
I think I'll have, like, the main one be the real one, because obviously if they see one real one, they're not going to look too closely at all the little guys. But I figure all the little... because I do have resistance members come in.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. So Jackson comes in. He takes this briefcase he has and lifts it up and... like, slams, puts it down on the table, but it slams.
Oh, come on!
And everything bounces and all the chips scatter. He walks over to your idol and takes his jacket off and throws it over it, which is...
there's a cop right here.
That's, Marty's good, don't worry. He starts walking around and looking into the other rooms of your apartment and closing the doors behind him as he goes. So the only door open now is into this main area here. Look, I'm sorry. I need your help, guys.
Well, anything, of course. But seriously,
sorry. Wait, before he says I need your help,
What, Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong, Jackson? You seem to have come to your senses.
I need your help.
Well, of course, you always got to count on us for help. But, dude, seriously, calm down and breathe, relax.
Right.
Get it out.
He opens his briefcase. He puts in a code on the wheels and clicks it open, lifts it up, and hands you, Marty, a box of cigars. Here, pass those out. Start, light those up now.
Oh, right. What's this all about?
Well, you guys know cigars are a rare delicacy. So he just gave you a box of cigars. This is...
Yeah.
This is like a few $100 worth of cigars.
Where the hell did you get that?
Are you getting married? Having a baby? What's the big occasion?
No. There's a cutter in there.
Pass them out, not take a donut. Jesus.
So you pass around the cigars?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you guys all light them up.
I love it when I'm being
followed, and I need you to do me a favor because I'm not going to be able to make this meeting later. He reaches he pulls the other thing out of his briefcase. It is a large metallic box, and he sets it down on the table, and you can tell this is what the main weight of his briefcase was when he puts it down. Stamped on the top lid, it says U-238. That's it. And it's got like a handle in the lid. And a big heavy and two big heavy latches. They're not like locking latches, but they're heavy and secure. I need you to take this case and bring it to Eastside Pier 40 at midnight. Westside Pier 40, sorry. Westside Pier 40 at midnight. Give it to a man named Perseus. He'll be waiting. Tell him it's for me, from Jackson.
Why are they following you?
You're being followed, and you came here where we're having a poker game.
That's why I'm leaving. I'm not staying. They're following me, so I can't take this.
Who is following you? Why are they following you?
Who do you think? The police.
There's a cop right here.
The police
above me.
Look, I wouldn't ask you guys to do this. I know it's dangerous, and I wouldn't ask you to do it if it wasn't incredibly important.
I mean. I know you're
The fate of the world is in this box.
Oh, just...
It could change everything for us.
Oh, it's just that it, huh?
But you have to get it to Pier 40 midnight.
After hours.
Yes, I know. But you generally don't have clandestine meetings in the middle of the afternoon.
No, yeah.
Pier 40 at midnight. Make sure you smoke the cigars. It'll cover my scent when I leave.
All right. I mean...
Just can I count on you guys for this, please?
Yeah. Is there anywhere you want us to meet you later or afterward?
No. I'm going to invoke everyone's aspect for what Jack. I'm going to compel everyone's aspects for what Jackson, what you owe Jackson. Okay. So you all get a fate point.
Yeah.
Because you all owe him.
Okay, Jackson. We'll make sure it gets where it needs to go.
Thank you, Charlie. Just Pier 40, midnight. You don't have to stay. Drop it off to Perseus, and then go about your merry way.
All right.
Count us.
Thank you, guys. And just keep playing in case anyone comes by. It'll be less suspicious.
I mean, do you remember
retail the cards? Jackson walks over to the statue, takes his jacket off of it, closes up his now empty briefcase, puts his jacket back on. Good luck, guys. Thank you for this. I'm sorry to bring this to your door, Timmy. I knew you guys would all be here, and I didn't have anywhere else to go.
Well, man, I mean, I owe you big time, so, I mean, I wouldn't have this place if it wasn't for you, so. This is how you want to cash in your favor? This is how you cash in your favor?
And you probably shouldn't open the box.
Okay. That would have been good to know.
I shouldn't open the box. What?
he nods at you guys one last time, and opens the door, walks out, and closes it behind him. And you hear his footsteps down the stairs.
Timmy, maybe you better put that thing, you know,
not here,
downstairs.
Yeah. Maybe just. Oh God.
Yeah, it's heavier than that radio before.
Oh.
This thing weighs like 20, 25 pounds.
Why? Why are people carrying heavy things today?
You could tell from your experience this is a lead box.
Yeah. I could kind of taste it in my fingertips.
Okay.
I mean, you ever...
Yeah, it's got that feel to it.
Yeah, like that texture is like, yeah. What the hell?
All right, so you bring it downstairs.
Yeah.
Do you open it?
Do I get a pie chip if I do?
Sure, I'll give you a fake point.
Why do I feel like that's the last time I see him?
I mean, what the hell could possibly be in a lead case?
Aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, so yeah.
All
right. You bring it down to your secret bunker before you open it?
Yeah, I bring it down to my secret bunker.
All right.
There's a safe in there. I'm going to put it in there just, you know, for extra keeping.
All right.
Before I do, I'm like...
So you clear some space and set it down on your work table. You flip the latch, and it's a heavy, like, thunk when you flip the latches up.
What could this possibly...
You open it up, and there's... just a sphere of metal in there. It's a little bit bigger than a softball. It's in... You can see most of the case is, like, foam padding.
Mm-hmm.
And the lid is carved out, so this thing is, like, completely encased in foam when it's being transported. Doesn't seem to be any markings on it or anything.
This is what he's panicked about? This can save the world? This little piece of whatever this crap is?
Let me lick it.
I'm gonna eat it. Safekeeping. They'll never find it that way. Just shove it down.
Just take a big bite out of it.
That's I just slammed the lid down. This freaking guy.
You close the lid back up, put it in your safe, lock it, head back upstairs. Do you guys play poker?
Yeah, I suppose we should.
Okay.
Alright, well, I guess we're gonna be expecting company maybe later. Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, so your entire apartment smells like cigars. Which is kind of nice. It's not a smell you're used to.
It's definitely new. Probably gonna have to open all the windows after everybody leaves. This is a smell that I'm pretty sure is not gonna come out of the carpet or the drapes.
Yeah. Luckily, your lease does not have a no smoking clause because it's 1965. So about 45 minutes after Jackson leaves, there's another knock at the door.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Don't look at my cards. Don't touch my chips.
You get up and open the door. Standing there is a man in the black uniform of the police.
I have a big scar in my mouth.
Cigar. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's wearing the black uniform of the police, you know, black shirt, black tie, black hat. The only color on him is the green armband he wears, which you know denotes him as a member of the special police.
Does it have tentacles all over it?
It does not. It's just a green armband. All right. Good evening, Mr. Tundra.
I'm
Lieutenant Martin Elbert.
How are you doing, sir?
Oh, quite well. May I come in?
Of course. I mean, we're just
having a poker night. He walks in and sort of brushes past you. He's instantly followed by two ghouls. They're humanoid creatures, about the size of a man, but they have canine faces and long, protruding snouts.
I feel like you walked in, I go to close the door, and they just kind of...
Yeah, you go to close the door behind them, and you hit them, they, like, push in behind you.
Oh,
one of them kind of, like, snarls at you.
I didn't know there was somebody behind you.
And they start walking around, they're kind of hunched, and they're sniffing around, and they just start walking all over your apartment, sniffing. So you guys look up. As this officer from the special police walks in, you can see the pistol strapped to his hip, which only police officers are allowed to carry weapons. Oh, gentlemen, I'm sorry to disturb your evening's festivities.
Celebrating.
Are you celebrating something?
It's my birthday.
Roll deceive.
Maybe it's my birthday.
Roll deceive.
I don't think I have my cold burglary empathy shoes. Yep.
So you just roll with plus
one.
Okay. Ah, well, happy birthday, sir. Happy birthday, Mr. Stone.
Certainly not celebrating how well I'm doing with these chips.
Well, Officer McGraw, it's not everyone can be a winner at the table.
Mm.
It is my understanding, gentlemen, that you are all friends with Mr. Jackson Elias. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, sir.
Yeah.
And have you seen him lately, by any chance?
We have a space set for him. He knows we start at 7:30 sharp, and He came by, said he couldn't stay, and then he left. He said he couldn't play, so...
Really? Did he mention anything unusual when he came by? Did he leave anything here by chance?
No, I mean, the only unusual thing was that he couldn't stay and couldn't tell us why.
Well, that's his chips that usually he plays with.
Roll to see you.
I have dice, I promise.
I don't believe you.
Roll to Steve, James.
One.
Okay.
I have three in deceive, so... It's...
I see. That is quite unusual.
You're telling me, sir.
And he didn't give you any reason for his absence and why he couldn't stay?
I just assumed he didn't want to lose all of his money again.
Probably chasing down a story if I know him.
Oh, and what was his manner like, Mr. Franchetti? Was he nervous? Agitated? Did he look scared?
He did seem excited.
And Dr. Lancaster, did he mention why he might seem excited?
No.
So you realize this guy knows who all of you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Not too shocked.
That's a little bit disconcerting to me, but again, my name's on the mailbox.
Yeah. He walks over to your Cthulhu statue, James. And stares at it. He keeps talking to you as he's staring at the statue. Would it surprise you, gentlemen, to know that Mr. Elias is believed to be a member of the Resistance and is wanted in connection with a series of crimes that have taken place in recent weeks?
That would surprise me greatly.
That would be a shocker to me greatly, yes. I mean... Let's be honest here. The man doesn't seem like the type to be bold. I mean, if you ever seen him play cards, the man's just afraid to take risks.
The officer reaches out and takes your Cthulhu statue and just twists it like a half inch and just adjusts it. There we go.
I'm sorry if it wasn't.
No, it's fine. I have an eye for the details. Comes with the job. You understand, officer.
Of course, it's very important.
Now, are you sure, Officer McGraw, that he didn't mention anything? It would be very bad for you and your career if it was found out that you were cavorting with a known member of the Resistance and didn't report it.
All he said was he couldn't stay. He wasn't very specific at all about the reason why.
The two ghouls come out of your back rooms, James, and they just kind of shake their heads no. They say something in some kind of guttural language that none of you understand.
They speak French.
Guttural.
So German?
and the lieutenant, waves his hand, and walk and stand at the door. Well, gentlemen, I'm...
No, I follow him because I'm obviously going to let him out.
No, he doesn't. The ghouls do.
Oh, okay.
He walks over to the table and sees the box of cigars. Oh, may I?
Help yourself, sir.
He reaches and takes one and cuts the end off.
I'll light it for him. I've got some matches.
Yep, you hold out the match. You... Oh, that is delicious.
Only the best for Simon's birthday.
Of course. Well, Mr. Stone, happy birthday. How old are you?
I was about to say either 30 or 40. It has to be something.
14.
11 and a half today.
Turn 21. Get my beard.
I'm going to go with 38.
Roll to Steve. That's fine. Well, happy 38th birthday. This is quite a celebration. Oh, I mean, you and your friends, the cigars mainly. Which one of you purchased these?
Well, I was saving up for, you know, wait until his 40th, but I couldn't wait any longer, and there was somebody happened to have them.
Well, you never know when they're going to come around.
Exactly, sir.
He takes another puff on the cigar, and then just... stabs it into the ashtray and grinds it down.
I wince a little bit.
Well, if Mr. Elias should contact any of you, I trust that you'll all do the right thing and call the police immediately.
Of course, we'll alert the authorities or Mr. McGraw right away.
With this new knowledge you've given us, I'll certainly be keeping an eye out.
Well, I'm sure I'm leaving in a very capable hands, Officer McGraw.
He should look at me when he says that. What's your name? So we can, you know, if we do see him, we can...
Lieutenant Elbert, Doctor. Thank you very much. Well, gentlemen, it has been a pleasure. He gives you a little bow, and he turns...
Good evening, Officer.
Good evening. And he gestures, and the two ghouls leave. And you walk him out, you said?
Yeah.
Boy, we got him good!
You walk him out and close the door behind him.
Well, fuck that prick, no.
you hear the two ghouls, like, scuttle down the steps in his very calm and measured pace as he walks down.
I kind of sit by the window to make sure he either gets in his car and drives away or that he walks.
You look outside. You see their car parked out front. The two ghouls get in the back. He gets into the front seats. The car sits there for, like, 2 minutes before it pulls away. And it's not like a regular police car. It's just a black sedan.
Never get used to seeing them things.
Yeah. Not a nice thing to say about the police.
One of them looked at me weird, man. I almost slammed the door right on its nose. I felt bad. I went into that tower. You guys have never seen me again. Oh, God.
No, I mean, the unlucky ones make it to the tower.
I think I need another cigar. That was a bit nerve-wracking. We have strong drinks in the around here somewhere, right, Stone?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Alcohol is...
I reach over.
Yeah, I'm guessing alcohol's very legal.
Yes.
Illegal?
No, it's legal.
Illegal.
You want to keep the masses right. Inebriated.
Yeah, so there's a bottle not very far from where I am.
Yeah. You reach over and grab it.
Like a hole in the wall or something that you didn't realize was even there.
Where? Wow, that was... All right. Glasses? Anyone? Anyone else?
Oh, hold on. I examine the Cthulhu stash.
Okay. Make a notice roll.
Plus three.
Doesn't seem to be anything weird about it. I'm just like, you look behind it and look, yeah, it's.
I'm gonna go and shift it back to the way it was.
You shift it like a quarter of an inch.
The person's
back. It looks like he was just, like, being very fastidious and making sure it was, like, perfectly straight on his pedestal.
And you're touching my thing.
Your names, huh?
Yeah, that was, a bit unsettling. I mean, I guess for special police, I think it would be his job to know these things, right? Right?
I can see that would be unsettling for you. I mean, I wasn't surprised personally about mine.
I mean, technically, it is my house, so I guess he would know my name. But the rest of you, I mean, like, how do they know that we meet here? Like, how do they know you'd be here? I mean, I know they were tracking...
Jackson.
That's, Yeah. So, tonight, midnight, who's in? You're all game, right? You're all coming?
I owe it to him.
Maybe we shouldn't discuss it in front of... And Angelo cocks his head toward the Cthulhu statue.
Yeah. I think I have some more, glasses and drinks downstairs if you guys want to join me. To help me bring the stuff up.
Does everyone here know about your secret bunker?
I am assuming at least...
I live there.
Yeah, he lives there.
Simon does.
Simon does. I don't think you would know because you're a cop right. You aren't part of the resistance.
Where do you sleep, Simon?
Really?
Okay.
I've never seen it with the lights on.
I know you have... mafioso connections, so I figured you would know. Because you're not part of the resistance, but you're not against the resistance.
Yeah, that's... Sometimes
you rent it out to him, so he can meet people there.
I mean, the criminal underworld has a tenuous relationship with the people in charge, because the mafia has a very strict don't fuck with the goose rule. Like, you've known guys who, like, have tried to maybe steal from the government or something, but they just turn them over. Like, the bosses just turn them over. As long as the mafia stays in its lane, then...
they allow it to exist.
Yeah. As long as you don't get, like, too big and threaten them, so, like, every once in a while you... I mean, you know that, like, they'll feed people to the goose.
Yeah.
Like, figurative and literally. You know, they'll turn people in, other criminals sometimes too. They allow you to exist, especially when you help get in black market things like drugs. On the face, drugs are illegal, but it helps dumb people down and keep them oppressed. And the more people oppress themselves, the easier it is. So they allow you to exist and like run extortion rackets and things. Right.
But you, Doc, how are you with the resistance?
I probably just want to be by myself.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the resistance exists.
Yeah, I think just these two wouldn't know about it.
Okay. Well, you're going to show them, I guess.
Yeah, they're about to find out. We need a private place to talk. And
so, Timothy leads you guys downstairs to the shop. Mm-hmm. And then behind the counter and lifts up a rug and you see a trap door that leads into a basement that you didn't know existed. Which, I mean, a store having a basement, that's not really that weird.
Yeah.
But when he leads you down and turns on the light and you see the table covered with components of stuff, I mean, you definitely see some weapons. Maybe that could be an explosive? You're not really sure. This is definitely not, like, where he repairs radios and toasters.
Wow.
Is the box open?
No,
it's in the safe.
No. It's in the safe closed. After I saw what it was, I just closed the lid, like, roughly, and just shoved it in my safe.
So you met Jackson, or, did he get you into it, or?
He helped me find this place. I know there's no way we can defeat the goose, but I'm definitely going to give them a hard time before I go out. They killed my family. I want my family back.
You're lucky they didn't find this place.
Yep. Then, listen, me and Jackson did the best we could to make sure this was off anybody's radar and everything. The only people know about it are a few people, Sam here, who lives here, and some people in the Resistance.
You know, if they found this place, all of us would have been getting in trouble for this.
No, not all of you. I would be.
No, they would just arrest all of you.
Yeah.
Remember, oppressive police state.
Yeah.
It's not innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. It's you are what we say you are. So
they would have never taken me alive.
Well, yeah, you could definitely put up a fight.
Well, yeah, we couldn't handcuff you.
Right.
But yeah, they would have just arrested all of you for. They call it I forgot what I was
saying.
Ungrateful activity is what they call, you know, resistance things.
I sure as shit would have taken a few of them with me.
No, but that thing, you definitely would have taken a few of them with you. But anyway, seriously, so we got to get this case to Pier 40 at midnight on the west side.
You're down in like the Hell's Kitchen area. So
yeah.
You're kind of like centrally in Manhattan. So you just kind of have to go west a few blocks. But it's a decent walk. Probably about a half hour normally.
Yeah.
But, what you guys know is that once curfew hits, and you especially, Marty, because you have to do this sometimes, there are police patrols.
Right.
So there are car patrols that will go around large areas, and foot patrols that tend to stay in, like, every few blocks, so that they're not more, probably every two blocks, so they're all just a quick run if there's any disturbance or anything. So, you know, and they tend to patrol around. So what you know is that the patrols change. They change their routes and schedules.
Today was supposed to be mine. Whoops.
I forgot to go to work.
Hey, we can go where we know you are at that.
Which is everywhere but here.
Yes.
So they change the patrols up because they do worry about the resistance. But there are car patrols and foot patrols. And if they catch you outside, it's instant arrest. Unless it's like my wife is pregnant, she's giving birth right now. Unless it's like a medical emergency.
I've lost my arm.
Unless it's a medical emergency and you can prove it's a medical emergency, but like in those cases, you're supposed to call the police and they'll like send an ambulance.
There's all phones, right?
There are phones, but they're not. You can't make long distance calls.
Yeah, it's like landlines.
Yeah, and they tend to be still party lines mostly.
Hello, operator.
Yeah, basically.
Take me number 9.
But like, so if you wanted to call your wife and say like poker's running late, so I'm going to be staying here because once it's happened before. Like once 10 o'clock rolls around, you don't have time to get home. So
call Klondike 429.
I'll call my lady.
All right, so you call Linda, right?
Yeah.
Lancaster residents.
Hey, Linda.
Oh, Louie. Are you... Oh, it's getting late. I guess you're not coming home tonight.
Yeah, it ran long. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, one second. Lily, come say goodnight to your daddy. You hear foot... Hi, Daddy!
Hey, sweetie.
Oh, Mommy said you're not coming home tonight.
Yeah, you should be in bed right now.
Well, Mommy said I could wait up because you were going to come home and read me a story.
I'm sorry. Will you go to bed?
Okay. Will you read me a story tomorrow night?
Yes, I'll definitely read you a story.
Will you read me 2 stories tomorrow night? Because you're not reading me one tonight.
I'll read you 2 stories tomorrow, I promise.
Okay. I love you, Daddy.
I love you, too.
And she here, you hear? Here, Mommy. She hands the phone back.
Oh, not cute.
All right, well, you boys enjoy your game.
Yeah.
I'll see you. Are you going to come in? Are you going to stop home before work tomorrow, or are you just going to go to the hospital?
I'll probably stop in, get some change, clothes, and shower.
All right, well, then I'll see you tomorrow morning, then.
All right. Love you.
I love you, too. And she hangs up. All right. Anyone else going to make a call?
Yeah, I'm going to call Stone.
All right. You turn to your right.
Sweetie, I love you.
You like. I just want to let you know that we're staying in the bunker tonight.
All right. So is there anything you guys would like to do before midnight rolls around?
All right. Well.
Dance.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to see if I can get my hands on a gun.
Okay.
This is my shop. I make guns. But if you want a real gun,
I don't want no zip gun.
Make a contact roll.
Our favorite gun.
Pizza gun.
I have a stunt for that. I know a guy. +2 to contacts when using my mafia hookups to acquire contraband or information.
Yeah.
That's a +2.
+2. Yeah, I mean, you know a guy who can get you, you know, something okay, like a little derringer.
I'm not a derringer. Nub-nose?
I mean, with a 2.
I mean,
nope. I mean, it's not a 1. All right, yeah, you can get you, like, a snub-nose 38, like a Saturday night special.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you, though, so it's going to be a fake point.
Okay.
Yeah, screw you, derringer.
That's the price.
Okay.
And he's not going to go out after curfew, so you're going to have to run out now to meet him and pick it up.
Sure.
Which you have just enough time to run a few blocks to meet him to pick it up. So that's what you're doing until curfew time. Is there anything anyone else would like to do?
I sharpen my machete.
All right.
Hey, officer.
Sharpen his machete.
Hey, officer.
Yeah.
You might want to find out which patrols are going to be in what area so that we can get to the docks from here.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Because that case is fucking heavy, man. It's like 25, 50 pounds. Up 75 at least. It's heavy.
At least. It's like a literal ton.
Oh, God, it's heavy.
We're going to need a wheelbarrow.
You're going to need a forklift.
We're going to need 2 forklifts.
Yes. You're going to need a forklift to lift
the forklift.
They actually have one of those at Home Depot.
Oh.
I've had to... They have 2 regular forklifts, which are 4 tons, and then they had an 8-ton forklift, which would use to move really big things, and sometimes when the other forklifts broke down, they'd use the big forklift to drag the little forklifts out back.
That's cool.
And people thought they could just walk in front of it and not get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
it's only 8 tons.
I'm like, you can walk in front of it, but I'm driving an 8-ton knife, so I'm going to win, even if it's your car. Anyway, well, anyone else doing? Oh, so Eric,
I'm gonna.
That would be contacts.
I have a little bit of that.
Now, here's the thing: if you don't score well, it's going to be weird while you're asking like what the patrols are for tonight.
Well, I mean, I figured they would have them listed somewhere. I could be going to double check to make sure I'm not on.
Oh, so you're going to go to the station and like physically check the patrol list?
I figured.
So here's the, like, if you could for free, you could like make a call and they might tell you, oh, you're not on tonight. You know, O'Brien's on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to tell you the routes.
Right.
So if you go to the station to, like, check what the routes are, that's going to be a little suspicious. Because why do you need to know what the routes are if you're not on patrol? You could do it.
Okay. I just figured, you know, I'd be going to make sure, like, to check when my next route is, to make sure that I'm not on tonight. And while I'm looking to just...
Well, do you know, like, on average, like, what the routes are?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, they change. But so you would know for free... Like what the general routes are. What you wouldn't know is necessarily when they're going to be coming down each area. So like it's timed out. So like the car is supposed to make this loop every 10 minutes or whatever, and go down these different blocks. And the foot patrols are supposed to. So you will know like in a certain area, there's 10 foot patrols. Like maybe that's standard. But what blocks each one are on and where they're going is what changes. You wouldn't know those details. But for free, you would know the general idea.
Okay.
So for free, your general knowledge would give someone a +1 to trying to navigate the streets around the area to avoid the patrols. If you want to try to get more detailed information, you're going to have to make a roll for that.
Yeah, just with the way I'm rolling, I don't know if I should risk it.
That's up to you. Like, oh, I was calling to see if I was on patrol tonight. And they're like, no, you're not. And they're like, oh, but what route went out? What route is O'Malley on?
What route would I be on if I were on patrol? And what if I was on a different patrol? Route would that be?
We'll just go with the general free now.
Well, so here's the thing. You can make a contacts roll if you want to try to get someone to look it up for you. And remember, you can always spend fate points to increase your roll. Or you could go to the precinct... and roll stealth to try to do it without being noticed.
I'll do this.
Or, rapport to just, like, sort of talk your way.
I'll just try contacts, if anything.
Sure. All right. So,
I mean, if the more details you can get, the better, so that we don't get caught carrying illegal contraband in the middle of the night after hours.
Yeah. So, make a contact.
Two.
Do you want to spend any fate points?
I think
7.
Was spending fate point 2.
It gives you a +2. Well, you can either re-roll or get a +2.
I think I get the +2.
Yeah, so what aspect are you invoking?
Let's see.
Probably your police officer one would be good. You could spend multiple fate points if you want.
The better
your score, the higher your score now, the bigger a bonus you'll get later. So I'll say that brings you a 2, but this is +4. So with +4... someone will get, whoever is leading the role later to navigate the streets will get a +2.
Mm-hmm.
If you spend another fate points, I'll give you an aspect of like knowing the routes with a free invoke that anyone can invoke.
That's great. And yeah, I'll use the aspect of Jackson to cover my past to protect my future because I'm doing this too.
Okay.
For help, Jackson.
Sure. Ryan, do you still have those post-its by any chance?
Yeah, hang on.
Here you go. Thank you. So, come on, pencil. There you go. I'm going to call this Nose the Way.
Is it a picture of a nose?
Better be.
Picture of Knuckles the Echidna. You know the way.
You down to Knuckles? I heard that was coming back, but then it didn't. Now Momo is the big
So player. There's one free invoke of that.
I haven't seen
For the next scene. When you guys are sneaking through the streets. It stays out, so anyone else can invoke it, but it costs you a fate point.
Why is there a nose?
Because someone said it better be a picture of a nose.
All right.
Because the nose knows.
Because it happened 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
I was busy talking about Ugandan knuckles.
Right. All right, so Marty's on the phone. Is anyone else doing stuff?
Can I make a few things of knockout gas? like, so if we do come across that, instead of killing people, it's just like a little container that breaks and releases fumes.
You can try. That's going to be difficult.
I'm aware that's going to be difficult.
I'm going to say that has a difficulty of +4.
Alrighty.
Because that's some, like, next level chemistry.
Yeah, so it's crafts, pretty much?
Yeah, it would be crafts. But difficulty of 4. So if you get below 4, it doesn't work.
Alright, so I'm gonna, I don't know if I want to re-roll or if I just want to add 2 to give me at 4.
Generally, you don't want to re-roll unless you roll like a -3 or a -4.
Yeah, the math works out better in your favor to just get the +3.
Yeah, I'm going to invoke my aspect that I got just the thing.
Okay.
So it gives me +2, so it'll put me at 4.
Okay, so at 4, you get 1.
Okay.
It's like, it's basically, I'm going to say you have like 2 glass vials taped together with 2 different compounds in each one, and if you like throw it down on the ground and they shatter, those chemicals mix, it creates a noxious gas.
Oh, Eric's favorite gas.
So the way it would work is that it would put an aspect on someone. If you try to knock them out, I guess it would probably deal mental stress to them.
Okay. It's just because if we're we're out at night, we're going to run into cops and
right. All right, so you're doing chemistry. Anyone else doing it? So Ryan's getting a gun. Mm-hmm. Eric's making calls to find out what the roots are.
Does Tim have a first aid kit here? I can maybe throw it together. I got that. So in case anything bad happens.
If you spend a fate point, you can just have like a go bag.
I'm just asking if Timothy has in his house like a first aid kit here.
That's what I'm saying. Spend a fate point.
And he does. Whatever you want.
And you have. You, if you spend a fate point, you could put together, like, an emergency triage bag.
Yeah, sure.
So you have medical supplies and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe you take an old bed sheet and tear it into bandages. And
I mean, I have, like, basic stuff because, let's face it, I tinker. I cut myself a lot. And
you've got lots of band-aids and bandages.
Yeah, I got a lot. I don't have, like, things for, like, if someone got shot, like, sutures or anything like that. Or
I got
butterfly band-aids.
You find a sewing kit, so you like bend a needle to get sutures and rub, you know, pour some whiskey over it to clean it up. So you spend your time doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone's got their stuff. 10 o'clock rolls around. You hear the jingle of the bell upstairs and a pant from Charlie as he just makes it back in time. I got it.
Look at you, made it back just in time.
All right. Knocking over my thing.
Yep, gotta tack my rope.
So the time comes, it's about 11:30. You know, you're supposed to be there at midnight. So you get your things together, you take the case.
I figure we leave at 11:15, so we left at 11:30 with exactly the amount of
you
time.
You say you're gonna leave at 11:15, okay. But then you have to wait for everyone to go to the bathroom and get their things together, so really you leave at 11:30.
Okay.
I mean, let's be real.
Okay.
You head outside. The streets are mostly dark, at least in your area.
Yeah, mostly dark.
They're mostly dark. They're still partly alight. And now you have to make your way across. So someone...
I guess I'll carry that stupid thing.
So yeah, someone has to carry the case. Does anyone open it before you leave to see what's inside?
Okay. No, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, we're not interested.
Okay.
Hey guys, my hair seems like it's falling out.
Probably just stress.
Yeah, I must be a little stressed.
Does it seem to be glowing blue around here? Else?
Am I glowing in the dark?
Am I turning to an alien?
And Jackson just left us this stupid bauble that doesn't even look like anything, and it's supposed to save the world. Stupid.
The district.
Do you say that in character?
Yeah.
So you guys realize he opened the box.
You looked?
No, of course I looked.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, what is it?
It's a little green.
I don't want to know.
It's not green.
I don't want to know. Don't say it. Don't say it loud. I don't want to know. I don't want to be... Don't implicate me further than you already have. All right.
Okay.
You're implicated pretty far, Doc.
I mean, Jackson... You owe Jackson a favor. This is what Jackson wanted.
I don't want to know what's in the box.
What's in the box?
I mean, you're in it for an inch. You're in it for a mile. I mean,
I don't want to know.
Okay. So, One person.
What was in the box?
I don't know, some stupid thing. It's small. It's tiny. It's just heavy for no reason.
That's not tiny. It's like softball size.
Yeah. It's a softball size thing. Supposed to save the world. A handful of people in a leaky boat save the world.
Well, same guy. I know, unless I got alive, we'd never get caught.
That's true. Plausible deniability. So, one person can make a roll to navigate.
What skill is
that? I'm going to say that would be, I would take notice would work, or stealth. And you get a +2 bonus from Eric telling you what the roots of the police are.
My character
I'm pretty sure uranium wouldn't be too hazardous.
Not great at...
No, I looked it up last time. It's pretty inert.
I haven't noticed a 3.
The balls are inert.
Eric's is 2.
My notice is 2 as well.
Alright. So notice, you get +2 right. from Eric's before, and you have a free invoke for another +2.
If you need.
Six. Okay. So you start leading the way.
Yeah.
Everyone else can make stealth checks with another +2 bonus because of the doc's good roll.
Another +2?
Well, you get a +2.
Okay. I want a +4.
Two. I got +0, but I'm going to invoke my...
Well, you have the nose the way, too. You can invoke that. Anyone can invoke that for free. Right. Or you can spend a fate point.
I don't know what Eric's rolling, so...
It was notice. Oh, stealth. It's the stealth.
Stealth or burglary. Yeah, my burglary is at +0. I'm sorry,
this is stealth now.
My stealth is at +0, and I rolled +++-. So, I'm going to... spend a fate point and invoke my quick as the Reaper. So I'm not really stealthy because I'm like 6'5".
Right.
But I'm fast.
You're fast. All right, so it's +2. Does someone want to roll on Eric's behalf while he's away?
Sure.
What is his stealth? I'll do it. -4.
His stealth is 0.
God, did he give himself anything useful?
No.
He's got to shoot at 4.
Might as well.
Yeah, but he wouldn't shoot it.
Eric's going to use the free invoke of Knows the Way, I'm assuming. That brings him to +1. You know what? Let's pause for a second.
Let Eric.
So I hit the pause button again, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's unpaused.
The numbers are counting down.
I know, I already hit it. I was making a joke. All right, so Eric, roll stealth. You got a +2 from Meyer.
Okay.
Because you're sneaking through the street.
Good, I need that +2. I now have a 1.
Do you want to invoke the free aspect you got before?
Sure.
Or do you want to stick with the 1?
I'll invoke it.
Okay, good. That's what we decided.
Right.
So, you all... So, the police officers also rolled a +2. So, you guys just managed to sneak by. There's a few times... when you're like you're about to turn a corner, and then you hear voices from officers who are chatting while they're walking, and you like duck back real quick. There's like 2 times when you're you think you're like there. I'm gonna. That's it. We're done. We're caught. But they don't see you. So we're gonna do one more stealth check for everyone. You still got the +2.
Okay.
Meyer, you have to roll this, but you've got a +2.
Okay.
Everybody gets +2.
Stealth it up.
1 again.
6.
Do you want to invoke anything?
Can my +6 help him?
Oh, you got a +6?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have a +2 still, right?
Yeah, you have a +2.
All right, 3.
3.
+2.
+2. 3. All right. James, your +6. You can help Eric. So that averages out much better than their -1. So you have many fewer close calls on the second half of your journey. You're moving slowly though, so it takes you
This fucking box is heavy.
Yeah.
It's like 75,000 pounds.
It's like 20, but you know, it's
you want me to make like a wrist support so you
can... Yeah, you know what? I think I'm getting a bit of the carpal tunnel.
Yeah. It weighs as much as one of those things, the aircraft carriers.
I don't think that.
I feel like I'm carrying a jet here.
It's like, what do they call it? Like a neutron star.
It's a black star.
It's super dense.
Yeah, so you sneak by. There's a few times you have to duck into the shadows, like behind the dumpster as a police car goes by. The patrols drive slowly and like have those spotlights that they aim up and down the streets. And you guys are hiding behind a dumpster and the light plays over where you are and casts you in shadows and like just misses you. And you manage to get to the
pier. McGraw sees a cop that he knows. Hey, Ben! I just grab him and be like, no, shut up.
This isn't social hour.
He's so cute.
I mean, he is, but that's beside the point. All right, so about 50 minutes later, like I said, the better part of an hour, you guys finally make it to the pier. You get to Pier 40 on the west side, and the docks are quiet. You could smell the Hudson, the fish.
We only have one dock.
And the salt, the smells fill the air. You hear gulls. I mean,
the Hudson wouldn't be as polluted now because it's...
No, but it's still... I mean,
it's still the Hudson.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it wouldn't be as bad as it is now because
no,
of stuff got...
But it's gotten that smell too.
Yeah.
Actually, it wouldn't be salt. It's not ocean. It's on the west, it's salt. But you could definitely smell like oil and fish and gasoline in the air.
I swam in the Hudson. Not in the city area, more in the upstate, but it was cleaner. But I was pretty sure when I got home I was going to grow an extra arm or something.
Did you?
No.
That's too bad. Did you grow an extra nipple?
Yeah, that I did.
So you have four now?
Yeah, I had to get it removed. Four is just way too many.
That is
what even is that?
Really? I have six.
I mean, as long as you've got an even number, it's, you know, symmetrical.
Yeah.
No, I liked being, because mine made a perfect triangle, and the fourth one just kind of...
Triangle.
Cat. I mean,
yeah.
A cat, yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
cat.
Okay.
That's a lot of nipples that makes a triangle.
Hey, why are your nipples purring?
Nipples actually had a little word bubble about me out. He had way too many nipples. He was right to remove a few.
All right,
why did you get that? Why does your nipples eat Mondays?
They eat all the lasagna, man. Mm-hmm. So I don't get to have any.
James nipples are voiced by Lorenzo Music.
All right, so you approach the pier. There looks like there's an old abandoned warehouse here. You see the windows are boarded up. It's mostly in shadow. The streetlights around here don't work, or maybe never worked. It's hard to tell. But everyone can make a notice roll.
I can fix these.
Three. Oh, fuck no. I do not notice.
I got a two.
I got a two.
I got a minus two.
Minus two. Okay. Oh. Who did better than a three?
I did add a three.
Add three.
I did better.
Which, two?
Two.
Each?
Two.
Two. All right. So you three don't notice, but Marty and Lewis, you see figures in the shadows.
Doc and Marty noticed.
Doc and Marty, you notice figures in the shadows next to the building. It looks like they're maybe holding guns.
Hopefully.
I'm going to kind of motion to the others to stop and like kind of point out.
Once Marty pointed out, you can kind of see them waving.
We're looking for Perseus. We have a delivery from Jackson.
One person steps out. You can see they're holding a rifle. There's not much light, mainly just moonlight and starlight, but they step out of the shadows, and you can kind of see them now.
I put my hands up, but if I drop this box, I'm pretty sure Perseus would not be able to kill the Titans with Medusa's head. Without Medusa's head.
Who did you say sent you?
Jackson.
Another person comes up behind them, and they turn and whisper to them. The second person goes into the warehouse. You see the door opens and closes behind them. The guy is holding the rifle down, but in your direction, so like he could very easily bring it up on any of you. Just stay calm for a second.
James.
God damn it, James.
After a minute, the door opens again, and you see that person, because they nod, and the guy's like, all right, come on. And he gestures you forward. And as you walk forward, you see two more people on each side of the building come out, too, that you didn't notice before. They lead you inside.
The attack comes not from the front, but from the sides.
The two you didn't even know were there. Okay.
Clever girl.
Inside, you see this long warehouse is dimly lit by a few hooded lanterns placed on what seem to be empty shipping crates scattered throughout. As you come in, the lanterns are turned up and the place brightens, and you see about a dozen men and women with guns wearing dark clothes positioned around the room. And in the center, walking towards you, is a large man with a full, partially graying beard. He's large, like he's almost as tall as you, Ryan.
Okay. Wait, real Ryan or his character?
Character, as Charlie. He's about 6 feet tall.
We never mentioned listeners. Ryan's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, he was about 6 feet when he was a ladder for me.
Oh. Yeah, that was nice of you, Ryan.
Yeah, that was really great. Thank you.
What I was machined for.
This guy is about 6 feet tall, full beard that's starting to go gray. He looks like he's in his 50s. Muscular, but not overly so. And he comes up and, I'm Perseus. So, they tell me Jackson sent you.
Yeah, so your dad's Zeus?
No.
No.
No, my dad's name is Dominic.
Oh. I'm anticlimactic.
Jackson sent
Most things usually are. Yes, so I heard. You have the package?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Not so little, really.
It's kind of heavy.
Yes, well, it's the future of mankind, and he takes it from you. Sets it down on a crate.
How did you pick that up so easily?
I work out. And he faces it away from you and flicks the latches open and opens it so you guys can only see the lid. And then he nods and smiles and closes it back down and latches it.
So you're going to save the world with that little ball there?
It's part of a greater contraption.
Yeah.
And I guess you opened it then.
Yeah, I was curious.
Didn't Jackson tell you not to open it?
No, actually, he did not.
Okay. Well,
he might have, actually. I don't remember.
Fairly certain that's not true.
I actually don't remember.
He definitely said don't open it.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, I must not have been listening.
Well, it's all right.
I think I was more concerned that he kept covering my Cthulhu statues.
Yes, well, he did good work for us. Welcome to the Resistance, gentlemen. Although, I'm pretty sure most of you don't want to be staying.
Yeah, could be an issue for me.
Well, thank you for your service anyway. We're going to get this to our other operatives, and hopefully soon you'll see the fruits of our labor. That's when you all hear the screech of tires out front of the warehouse. And bright lights flooding through the slats in the windows. And then you hear a voice come over a bullhorn. Resistance! This is the special police. You have 30 seconds to drop your weapons and come out or we will open fire. And you hear a somewhat familiar voice that sounds like that guy who was at the apartment earlier.
Martin Elbert? Lieutenant Martin Elbert?
Yes.
I'd like to make myself scarce.
Is there a gun?
Oh, shit.
What?
Is there any, like, hands, like, laying about? Or?
I'm sorry, I got...
Is there any guns laying about?
I'm not extra. Everyone here is armed. Oh. There aren't any extra guns.
Now I think would be a good time.
You watch some of the resistance people, like, run to the front and, like, look out the windows. Like I said, the windows are boarded up with, like, crossed slats, so the lights are casting like long shadows in between the brightness from. It looks like the headlights from the cars are probably spotlights too. Perseus, shit. All right, there should be a way out the back. Hopefully, if they haven't circled around, and everyone make another notice roll.
I think now would be a good time for all of us to buckle.
I got a 3. I got a 2.
I got a dose.
Six.
Pick up sticks.
Okay. Louis and Charlie, you hear over the set. So you all hear the sounds of the engines outside are still idling. The resistance members are all kind of whispering, like, what are we doing? Like, they're all whispering to each other. Yeah. You two, over that, hear the sounds of of guns cocking from outside.
Yeah, I'm running out.
So you two make athletics checks.
Everybody down!
I got two.
I got five.
Five. Whew. Okay. The rest of you each take one stress. Chris, James, and Eric.
Mental or physical?
Physical.
Alright, I already got one marked from the last time.
I'm sorry, I can hit it. It was only four.
That's fine, you're still good. As the officers outside just start hosing down the front of the building.
Oh, I'm sorry, not from last time. I mean from, I marked one down already. Yeah, cause last time didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He was marking one down for fun, and yep. He forgot to erase it.
Yeah.
Understandable. Who doesn't like marking physical stress? Yeah, so it all seems right. Like they may have been lying about that 30 seconds, because it definitely hasn't been 30 seconds.
So, the guy, is that when he killed right now?
Yeah, so you watch as Perseus drops down, he ducks.
Oh, okay,
so down in front, yeah. You look over, you see some of the resistance fighters just getting pelted with bullets. Others are like, ah, motherfuckers! And, like, shooting back at them through the walls and, like, screaming out the windows. Perseus has the box. He's, out back! There's a door! Go! Stay low! So everyone can make athletics checks.
He goes to duck down to avoid bullets, sits his hand on a crate, and knocks himself out of hole. Well, that happens.
Four.
Athletics, you say?
Yes, to not get shots.
Okay, so
two.
Plus two as well.
Negative one.
Do you want to spend any pain points?
Yeah, you are the doctor. If,
can someone else spend a fate point to help him in a situation?
Someone else wants to.
Yeah, I got a fate.
So what are you invoking?
Family man, I got to come back, tell my family.
Okay.
Can't die in this thing.
So that brings you to one. All right, they got a zero, so that's just enough. So you feel bullets whizzing by you. Your coat gets a hole in it.
Man.
But you don't get hit.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. You hear the screams of other people dying around you as they're trying to cover mainly Perseus' escape, but you're sort of riding that wake.
Like when an ambulance or a fire truck's driving on the highway in the middle of traffic.
Everyone exactly.
Just kind of gets behind them.
Yep.
Assholes.
So do you guys want to keep crawling, or is there anything else you want to do? You know, it's going to take one more athletics check to get to the back door. Yeah. You can see now the door on the back of the
Perseus coming with us?
He's leading the way. He's in front of
him. He's leading the way. Yeah. So basically, I'm going to try and be protecting my ass and his ass.
I mean,
at the same
if there's
time.
A gun that falls in front of me, I'll take it. But
if you spend a fate point, there is.
I can't shoot, so I don't
know. Okay. Then no, you don't see any. That means you hear them falling, but they're mostly back towards the bullets.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of the way you want to go.
I know Skittle Shoes will be stupid to grab to have a gun.
I have a gun. I don't know how to use it, but I got one.
That's why I was like, if one falls apart, I'll grab it, but otherwise I'm not going to.
So you got to push the trigger back and hold the hole toward your face.
You know how guns work. You're just not skilled at them.
Yeah.
No.
I got a gun.
I'm not going to know how to take the bullets out, not how to put them in.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
waste a bus.
He knows how to put bullets of healing in them. And he knows...
All right, everyone else make another athletics check.
Anyone else?
Borderlands logic. Let me heal you with rockets.
Plus two again.
I need to invoke something because otherwise I have a zero.
Plus three.
I mean, my police officer training.
Yeah, three.
Yeah, Oops.
I got Uno.
Uno.
I meant to put athletics as
plus
a skill.
Two.
I was going to put it, but I put physique, and I forgot to put it later.
I got plus one, and I have negative one.
Everyone's positive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alright, so what does that bring you to, Eric, with your...
Plus two.
What?
With your spend, what does that bring you to?
Two.
Okay.
30.
And you're at one, Meyer?
Yeah.
Alright, so once again, you just barely avoid getting shot. You feel, like, wind on your head, and you reach up and, like, maybe, like, a bullet grazed the tip of your ear. Like, there's a little bit of blood. Not enough for you to take damage, but your ear stings.
Yeah.
It's... Very close. This is probably one of the worst situations we've ever been.
Yeah, this is great.
And you performed open heart surgery.
Yeah. Well, he's an ER surgeon, so he puts the heart back in and then sends them to the surgeon. Okay, so you guys make it to the door. Are one of you opening it, or are you going to let Jackson open it?
Well, Jackson's not here right now.
Oh, not Jackson. Sorry, Perseus.
I'll open the door.
All right. So you run over. It's got like a big bar over it. You lift it up and throw the door open. Make a notice roll.
Okay.
Him or all?
Just Charlie.
Plus one.
You open the bar and throw the door open, and you see there's an officer with a club coming right at you, and he's about to hit you.
All
right.
I shout, "Bulls," and then I duck out the door, whip out my gun, and plug the cop.
All right. Make a shoot roll.
You yell, "Bulls?"
Bulls. Cops.
Oh.
I've never heard that one.
God damn. I love rolling zero. Plus two.
Plus two? Okay.
Like balls. Like balls. Balls.
Dang it, Bobby.
To be fair, it's very loud. I really can't hear very yeah. well anyway. I get my red cape out. Batman?
Okay,
he said
so you
red cape, he'd be Superman. Or Wonder Woman.
Or Robin,
yeah, that's true.
So you guys see Charlie open the door and then jump back and yell, "Bulls!" and pull out his gun and fire. What are you doing? The rest of you.
I don't know.
How many are
I'll
there?
I'll keep ducking until he...
Well, I'm going to throw my knockout gas out the door.
Okay, well, actually, let's roll initiative, which is notice rolls, I believe.
Okay.
Good. Two. Right. I saw it go, but I
feel like
where it went.
I'm switching the dice.
She noticeably jumped. All right, I'll just crawl around on the floor till I find it. Here. There's the other thing.
Oh, it's right here.
What? Oh, you see it?
Yeah. Your dice is clear. So.
Yep.
Ooh, good roll.
You said notice, right?
Yes.
I got a five.
Try. I got a dose.
Anyone above a five?
No.
All right, so we got Chris. Fours.
Man.
Is Meyer. Three. Two is James. And Eric.
Who's Eric?
Ryan.
Zero.
Oh, all right. So cops, then Ryan. All right, so Chris, you're up first.
Is there one close enough to machete?
No, you're still in the warehouse. You haven't seen them yet.
Did I shoot the guy?
You did hit. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, then I know they're there, though.
You know they're there. You'd have to run out to try to machete one of them.
Mm.
Or wait for them to come in, but you're going before them. So on their turn, they'll probably come in, but that hasn't happened yet.
Can I brace myself for one of them to come through the door and machete them when they do?
Sure. So you're going to wait?
I'll wait until...
All right, Meyer?
I would like to disguise myself.
With what? And how?
Is there anything around? Like a
warmer of some kind?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
See what's around.
Put on a dress.
I'll make another notice roll.
Right. I'm gonna
four minuses?
Yeah, so oof. I'm just gonna re-roll that.
Sure. What are you gonna roll? I mean, you can evoke Family Man again. It's a different role.
Sure. I'm a Family Man.
Sure.
I don't want to implicate. I don't want to get in trouble and get these guys in trouble.
Okay.
Alright, that's better. Five.
Five? Alright, so what are you looking for?
I'm looking for, like, something I can, like, hide my face, something so, like, if they come in, they can't ID me.
Okay, so I'll say, there's some mud. Or are you looking for, like, a mask you can wear?
I don't care. Either way, I want something so, like, I mean, masks would be better than mud. I really just don't want, when the cops come or something, I don't want to be ID'd.
Okay, so yeah, one of the resistance members dropped like a balaclava mask before. Right. You see it on the ground. All
right.
So you pick that up and put that on. All
right.
Gems.
I'm gonna throw my makeshift knockout gas out the door.
Okay, that's gonna be athletics. I'm gonna say it's gonna be difficulty 2 to hit anyone because you can't actually see them.
Yeah, well, I mean it's kind of like an area effect thing. So I figure if there's a bunch of cops out there,
right? But
I don't know
if they're in the area.
So this is gonna be re-rolled.
What are you invoking?
I'm gonna be It's under the aspects, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do. I got just the thing, you know, because I right. got this thing, and it's you just the, it's just the thing that I need to do this situation correctly. So, you said athletics, right?
Yeah. Difficulty two.
Oh. Difficulty of two. Oh, okay. So far, this isn't working out in my favor. I'm going to add two to get me at plus two.
You sure you don't want to just leave it a zero and see what happens?
No, I'm pretty sure I don't want to leave it there.
Just breaks it over his own head.
I mean,
as long as you can make a case for it, you can invoke it.
The other thing you can do in Fate, you can succeed at cost. So Alex gets to recommend
you throw it, is. But so I'll say if you want to succeed at cost, you can throw it out the door and hit them, but a gust of wind's going to blow some of it back at you.
Yeah, no, I'm not okay with that. You know what, Simmons usually, Simon.
Just said Simmons.
Simon. I'm sorry.
I think you were calling me Sam before, too.
Yeah, that happens. I noticed that.
It's fine, whatever.
I think I say stone mostly, so it's like...
You guys just call me whatever you want.
you just live in my house. So.
If there's an S in it...
I don't want to call you.
You respond to it?
I'll respond.
So
James would work.
Russell?
Yeah, Russell.
Almost still skin.
I need to protect my friends since in stone gets me the stuff that I need to make my materials, which is how he pays rent. So,
okay, that's fine. So that puts you at plus two?
Yeah, it puts me at two.
Okay. So you throw it down, like, right at the door, and you hear the crack, and then you watch as this white smoke just starts to fill the doorway, and you hear coughing from outside.
Coffee!
It's Pikachu! Damn it!
Okay, you don't see who got hit, though. Eric, there's now a cloud of smoke in front of the door.
I want to do the same thing as Meyer, make sure my face is covered.
I mean Lewis.
So, you can roll notice to find something, or if you want to, like, spend a fate point to say you
have a mask. Left, I've been rolling terribly.
You can always ask for a compel if you want more fate points.
If you tell the cops who you are, I'll let you find it.
For now, I'm just going to roll notice. I'll use the fate points if I have to, which I probably will because I'm rolling. Shit, no, I got three.
Three. There's not another mask, but there is mud.
Not that'll do much.
I mean, it'll obscure your face until they wash you off. I mean, the mask will obscure Meyer's face until they pull it off. Right. Like, if you get caught, it's not going
to
help.
I guess I'll smear mud on my face.
Okay. You don't need to smear it on your face. Just go... Just throw your face in
there. You're pretty sure it's mud.
Shit.
So you reach down.
Now, this mud smells like shit.
I mean, it is by the Hudson.
You grab a handful of mud and just smear it across your face, Predator style. Alright, the cops are going.
And he found a crack mirror and he's sitting there just intricately putting it all over like war paint.
Don't miss the spot.
Now go inside my mouth.
Gotta get right up to the hairline.
Make sure not to get into the hair.
Come on.
Alright, so now the police officers are going. You hear coughing. You hear a few people coughing. You hear a thump as it sounds like a body hits the ground. And you hear someone shout, "What the fuck is that?" And someone else says, "I don't know, just shoot." So they're all just shooting into blindly. So they have a penalty. So if people want to make athletics checks, do not get shot.
So I'm outside. What happened?
I thought you ducked back into the...
No.
Oh, okay. In that case... make an athletics check to not be in James's.
Sorry. I thought you jumped back in.
I thought you said you yelled bulls and jumped back in as you were shooting. I thought that's what you said. But if you want to be outside, that's fine.
I had pictured myself as outside, but I'll be inside. That's fine.
I thought if you were...
If everybody's getting shot, then...
I mean, either way, you're going to have to roll athletics.
Well, Ryan, you could be outside with the poison gas and the bullets, or you can come inside.
With just the bullets.
With just the bullets.
That's right.
My apologies.
I got a 3.
Okay.
I wouldn't have thrown it if I knew you were outside.
No, that's all
right. Roll?
No.
So everyone roll athletics.
I finally rolled something good. I rolled all 5s.
2.
2.
Also 2.
2.
Oh. 2. All right. They got a -1.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got that 4.
Yeah. What'd you get, Ryan?
3.
Yeah. All right. So you're all fine. So the bullets shoot through the siding of this warehouse, but they all miss you. And Ryan, you're up now.
I guess I'm gonna like, I guess, what time of year is it?
It's like April, so it's March.
Okay.
Early spring.
That was March weather.
Alright, in that case,
do not touch Willie. Good advice.
is there like a rag or something I could tie around my face?
I mean, if you just run through the smoke, you'll be okay. You just, like, hold your breath.
Yeah, I'm not so concerned of
you can put some mud in your mouth.
Don't breathe this.
Don't breathe this.
As long as you're not standing in the cloud, you'll be okay.
All right, I'm gonna run through the smoke.
Okay, so you don't have to roll for that. So you get out, so you run through the smoke and get outside.
What do I see?
All right, so you actually do make an athletics check for something else.
+4.
Okay. So you run outside, and you trip on something, but you manage to right yourself. So you come out of the smoke ready. You look back. There's a body on the ground, unconscious, dead. You're not sure. He is bleeding. That's the cop you shot before. There's two other cops who are like coughing a lot.
Uh-huh.
And 3 of them are fine and staring at you.
Oh, God.
They all have guns pointed.
All right, I'm gonna shoot one of them.
Go right ahead. That one's gonna try to not get shot.
Whoa.
+6.
+6. All right. He got a 0 to get out of the way. So tell me how you kill him.
Right between the eyes. Bullet just like.
All right. So he's like, "What the?" and just falls back. Okay. So that's the first round.
So I get spin on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you spin his head all the way the opposite way.
His skull explodes and the shrapnel kills the other two off.
Isn't it true that there's a point in the man's head where if you shoot it, it will explode?
What I was going to say was, can I like put an aspect on the other two officers like they're stunned? Yeah, they're shocked.
Yeah, sure.
Because I just like ran out of the smoke and shot their friend in the head.
I mean, that's like just a shit.
Round pulse.
I'm going to call that shock and fury.
All right.
And you can get a free invoke.
Yay!
Anyone else can also invoke that, but Ryan gets a free one. Yeah, it costs you fate point.
What does invoking it do?
It gives you +2. So it's like any aspect you can do, but you can just invoke.
Yeah.
Like if none of yours work.
You can invoke anything on your sheet for a +2 or a reroll, or you can invoke any of the setting aspects or the scene aspects for just the +2.
Right, yeah, you only get the reroll from yours. Alright, so they're upset. And Chris, you're up. There's still the white smoke obscuring the door. So from your point of view, you saw Charlie rush out, heard a gunshot, and that's it.
Yeah, right. I'll rush out and machete one of them.
All right, make an athletics check.
I mean, he would have probably heard the other two guys go, "Oh my god," or something like that.
Yeah, that's part of it.
I'm not going to just stand next to the door in the game, so off I go. I'll re-roll this.
Okay. What are you invoking?
Violent revolutionary.
Okay.
I'm rolling athletics.
Yes.
Is this or notice. To get out?
No, this is to not trip over the body.
Okay.
I would take notice.
Athletics and notice are the same for me, so. All right, there we go.
That's my foot.
So
your foot was on the door.
3. All right, so same as Bull. Your foot hits the thing in the smoke. But you write yourself. As Charlie, yeah. I'm sorry. You said bulls before. And
yeah, and everybody got hung up on it, apparently.
so you hit this unconscious cop and kind of, like, do that trip where, like, you step over him and write yourself. So you come out of the smoke You see the same thing. Two of them are coughing. Well, now one of them is dead. And two others have their guns pointed at Charlie.
Almost the same thing.
Right. So, do I still get the murder one?
Yeah, you can see there's the two that are coughing, and the two that are pointing their guns at Charlie.
No, we'll start with the ones that are, pointing the guns.
Okay. Yeah, roll fight.
Ed last week was caressing my foot thinking it was the dog. Maybe the dog was over there. Now this time you pet my foot.
Okay. Ooh, excuse me. So you hit one of them. You don't kill him.
Oh.
But you do distract him.
He is distracted with a machete in him.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is distracted with a machete in him. It is a distracting.
That would distract me too if I had a machete in me.
Yeah. All right, Jones, you're up.
Okay, so I'm gonna run outside and see if I can pick up something to use as a weapon.
All right, athletics or notice?
How did I go before?
You do. You I'm do. Sorry.
Good call. Why does she eat dice?
What's the
I think she just knows the guy with the leader.
Perseus is standing up. It looks like he's waiting for the smoke to clear. He doesn't want to just run out when he doesn't know what's there.
Yeah.
He turns to you and says, "There's a boat outside we can get to use to get away."
I'll go closer to him and I guess just hang out with him.
Okay. you're gonna cover Perseus.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's gonna cover him in mud. Here, so they don't recognize him. Wait.
Alright, now you're up, Jones.
Alright, I'm gonna do what I didn't say before, which was to go outside and find something to use as a weapon.
Alright, so either notice or athletics to go outside first.
Alright, I'm gonna notice. Yeah, so +2.
+2. Alright, you go running out and you notice the body lying in the smoke and hop over it. So make another notice roll to actually. The cop who's down, who's unconscious, dropped a nightstick, and the dead one dropped a pistol. The others are not disarmed. Or if you want to roll a notice roll to try to find something else you can use.
No, I think I'll take a pistol.
All right, so you run over. You have to, like, run between the other two officers to get there.
All right.
Just say excuse me.
All right. Eric?
I'm going to go, what in the world could that be? Just run right between them.
I can't see one of them well enough through the smoke to shoot.
No, you'd have to go outside.
Okay.
Is there like a salute or something they have to do? It's like, oh, Cthulhu. If you like, you know, like just say,
no,
like,
they're not that stupid. You could just try blind firing, but that's going to be much more difficult.
Just not shooting. Also, you might hit us.
Right. So I think it's fair as a get out of there like everyone else.
Right, yeah, so athletics or notice to not trip over the body.
Roll notice.
What the hell is
4?
Yes. Okay, yeah, you see
it. Flufflepuff.
You see it and hop right over it.
All right, and I'd like to shoot at one of the guys.
So there's... Well,
hopefully don't recognize it's me because of mud.
Well, if you shoot him right, it's not going to matter. So there's the two that are coughing, there's the one that Chris just macheted, and there's one that was pointing his gun at Ryan, but now seems to be turning to point at James as James is going for... Actually, Ryan still has a gun, so he's still pointing at Ryan.
I'll pick off the one pointing at Ryan.
All right, so roll shoots.
All right. You know what? I'll use a fate points to called shot. So I put a condition on a successful shot along with the damage. Or do I wait until the shot is successful?
You would do that now. I would tell you it's probably not worth using that on these guys.
Yeah, I will.
They're weak moves.
Okay. 3.
All right. Do you want a fate point?
I don't know.
Say yes. Always say yes. When the god offers you a fate point, say yes.
Do it.
It makes for good storytelling, and it's also fun.
All right. So you kill that guy.
Christ.
They're going to recognize your pants.
Oh, they're dead. They're not going to recognize
you. But the other guy.
You recognize them.
No, you recognize them. It's your partner.
That's right. You killed the guy for no reason.
Or it was your partner. You shoot him.
Painful.
Right in the throat, and he's just, and he collapses.
If only Marty was here.
Marty, why?
No, you notice you know he recognizes you as he's dying.
He looks up at you, and you can see the recognition in his eyes as he just collapses.
fuck, partner.
All right. The cops are up. Chris, the one you just macheted, is going to shoot you.
Nah.
So you can roll athletics if you'd like
to get out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I said nah. He said nah.
But, they negate the nah.
Come on, Meyer. Nope it.
They're on.
Nah. I
got
one.
That's enough. They got a zero. All right. So they raise their gun up, and you just kind of move out of the way right in front of them as they pull the trigger. And it deafens your ear because they're really close.
My tinnitus!
But that's it. So, Ryan... You see the cop was leveling his gun at you. Suddenly there's a bang and he just starts gushing blood out of his neck. And you turn and see Marty behind you with this look of horror on his face.
Run for it, Marty!
Are there any other cops still?
Yes. So there's one that's
Kane.
That's Simon is engaged with, and there's two others behind you who seem to have been finished with their.
Congratulations, Simon! By the way,
their coughing is easing away, okay. So they're going to be doing stuff next turn.
All right. Can I? I do have my stunt, which lets me kill people with. What is it? Once per session, you may instantly kill one standard human enemy in a non-supernatural way.
You want to do that?
Turn into a demon.
What I was going to say was, I just kind of like slump and I go, I've had about enough of this shit. And I walk over to one of the cops and I just like slam the butt of my pistol into his throat and crush his trachea.
Alright. So he's and just as he like finishes his coughing fit, he looks up and you just whap and he unable to breathe, just like collapses, like grabbing at his neck. He's like looking up at me, like grabs your shirt as he's falling down.
I just want to breathe.
He just starts dying.
I just want to know where's the bus stop.
I just shrug it off.
Yeah, you just like kick him off you. His partner next to you looks a little upset. But it is Chris's turn.
He just wanted to smell flowers. Can you machete the same guy?
All right, machete party.
Two.
That's enough, because he got a minus one. So you want to tell me how you kill him? Or do you kill him?
Oh, yeah, I kill him.
Okay.
So...
It worked I'm about to good. Kill him.
Let's see.
My goo!
Where did I hit him before?
You got him, like, right across the chest.
In the machete wound.
A big gash.
Oh, I got him in the machete wound.
You got him right in the machete wound.
Well, look, you have a machete time. Wound. Let me add to that. Yeah. I take the machete back and I kind of kick him in the knee, mm-hmm. and as he's falling forward, I bring the machete up into his neck.
Okay.
So he falls onto like it onto as I'm it. Bringing it up.
All right.
Like across, not stabby.
Oh, so like you slice it, yeah.
Well, it's going to...
Oh, you're decapitating him.
I wouldn't say it's going to decapitate him, but I think...
It gets stuck in his neck.
It's going to come close.
Okay.
He won't
so
be,
you...
Does it make him a Pez dispenser?
Yes.
Yeah, so you Pez him... and you watch as his corpse, like, you have to, like, push him off your machete and he just falls and like, his head flops back. Next to the other guy who's still clutching the bullet wound in his throat as he's slowly dying. Their blood is pooling and then dripping through the planks on the dock into the water below.
I'm just thinking of the one with the bullet hole in his neck lying on the ground dying. This is the worst ever. And then the one falls down next to him with his whole throat.
Oh, never mind.
Meyer.
You should get... Yeah.
The smoke is cleared now.
All
right. And Perseus is getting ready to run.
Right.
Are you going with him?
Yeah, I'll go.
All right, so make an athletics check.
When we get supernatural abilities, you should get like Jason Voorhees abilities, so you could just start slashing a guy down across their all right, body with a
so,
machete.
Perseus got a two, so he manages to like just step over that body, but you trip. So you're going to spend a fate point, or you're just going to fall?
Caning. All
right. So you don't take any
that's
damage.
That's the one I see.
But you, as the smoke's clearing, there's this unconscious cop, and you trip and just face plant on the dock. But you're not in the blood right now, so you're okay.
That's good.
Jones.
Did I get that gun yet?
Yes, yes, you got the gun.
So I'm going to shoot a cop.
There's only one left.
Well, I'm going to shoot him.
All right, make a shoot roll.
I'm going to shoot him right in his shooty place. And drop. I think I do. I got a plus 7.
So I just want you to know I gave him plus 1 for everything, and that's what I just rolled, which was 3 minuses.
Okay.
So he's at minus 2. So technically you got 9 shift on him.
Okay.
And he had 1 stress box.
Sure?
Describe how you killed him.
I figure I go out there, I run and I fumble and I pick up the gun and I'm trying to get a good grip on it, and then all of a sudden I see
it is kind of bloody.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, so as I'm trying to get a good hand on it, I drop it and it shoots and it just catches him right under the chin and it just blows his head, brains out the back of his head.
So you, Charlie, turn around.
You know, I'm about to shoot him.
Yeah, you're about to shoot him and you bang and his head's just gone, and you turn around and then you see
spinning on the
Simon picks it up and he's holding it and he just blew that guy's head out with one shot.
Yeah, I meant to do that.
I've been practicing.
Lewis, you stand up.
Yes.
And you see the carnage around you. There's 5, maybe 6 dead police officers.
Like a PTSD thing where he's like an explosion goes off next to a soldier, and as they get up, they just see like all the carnage and mass.
No, he wasn't actually in war.
I know, but like he fell, so now he's getting up as all this carnage around him is happening. So it would be like he fell, there's ringing in his ears, he's getting up, and it's like everything's coming back.
It's very chaotic.
I'm going to walk up to him and just like grab him by the back. Come on, Doc, we're going to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you hear pounding footsteps of people running down the other sides of the warehouse coming towards you. Perseus has jumped into a boat. There's a fishing trawler docked at the pier here. He's like, quick, get on! One of you, unmoor the rope, and I'm going to get the engine started.
I'll do it.
All right. So, everyone, you see police officers running around the corner. One of them, yes, stop! And they're all leveling machine guns at you.
Why doesn't Stone just cut the rope with the machete? So that we could just unmoor faster. And
you gotta, someone's got to get rid of a rope. I mean, this is like a 2.5 inch
Yeah, I'm just gonna unmoor it.
Yeah. So everyone make an athletics check to not get shots. Ryan, yours is at a difficulty of I'm giving them plus 2 to their roll on you.
Okay.
Because you can't hide to unmoor the rope.
Right. I'm going to spend the 8 points.
I get a plus
3. Well, let me see what I get for them. Hey. Alright, they are at plus 4.
I'm rolling what I have.
Okay.
Let's see.
What are you invoking?
Refusal to let my missing arm slow me down.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I'll invoke Jackson, cover my debt to Jackson.
Okay.
You're plus 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure.
I am.
You can spend a big
one. It doesn't matter. I roll a 1. So even I get plus 2, I'm getting shot.
Well, the higher your roll, it subtracts from there, so you take less damage.
Yeah, basically.
So you got a 1?
Yeah.
So you would take 3 physical stress.
I don't have 3.
All right, so then you would take your 1 and 2 box would fill.
Yeah, and you would get taken out.
Yeah.
Or you could take a moderate consequence.
Yeah. Any combination that would...
1 fate point left and try and figure
out. Or you could take a mild consequence and like
add one stress.
If I take it out, I still get a consequence?
Yeah.
Well, it adds up to 3. So if you spend the fate points...
You have to use up 3 boxes.
Yeah.
So like the 2 and the 1, the 2 minor consequence and the 1 would work. Or you could just take a moderate consequence.
Right. Or if you spent the fate point, that would bring you to 3 and you would just take 1 stress. Your fate points refresh at the beginning of every game too. So if you use them all now, you'll get them back at the start.
This works exactly.
So that brings you to 3.
This works exactly the same either way.
Yeah, so you take 1 physical stress.
I could either use my last fate point to get a plus 2, and that'll only do 2, because I have 0.
Okay.
Or I could just take it as the 4, do the moderate, and use the fate point to make it a mild consequence, which would be the same thing as if I took 2.
So you're just going to spend the fate point either way?
Yeah.
Alright, so that brings you to 2. You're so probably better off filling your stress box. Yeah.
So stress refreshes at the end of every scene. So
the consequences stick around for the whole game, so, or longer.
I took the two physical stress.
Stress doesn't necessarily represent harm, but consequences do.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So I got just the thing to not get shot.
So what does that bring you to?
Five.
Okay. So it's six for you, Ryan.
Okay.
Because you're not in cover.
I'm taking a stress then, because actually, you know what? I'll take the. I'm at plus three, and I have a three box, so I'll just.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Chris, what are you at?
I rolled a one, so I'm in the same boat as Maya, right? It's three.
Right. Or you can spend the fate point.
I could spend a fate point to bring it down to one, but I already marked off my one box.
So go to your two box.
Yeah, so I think I'll just take the three, because it's going to restore at the end of the scene.
Yep, right? So you're fill your three stress box.
I'll just spend on three.
Yeah, okay. Alright, so shrapnel flies, bullets fly, some of you get winged, or Ryan, in your case, you actually get hit, like, in the shoulder. It hurts, but you've had worse.
Oh, we got
added to your scars. But you managed to throw the rope off, and Perseus just guns it forward. So one more athletics check from you guys.
I'm hidden under a chair.
They are rolling with a penalty, though, because you're pulling away.
I got minus two, and I have no fate points left.
Well, that's okay, because they got a zero. So you would take two stress.
Oh, so they, okay.
They still hit you, because you roll under that.
So
if you get
fill in
zero?
The three box?
Yes. If you got at zero, you're fine.
Okay.
I got plus
five. If I got at zero? Oh, right, okay, right.
But you got minus two.
I forgot.
Way spit on them. Can I, tackle?
Oh, yeah. Was anyone else taking damage?
I have zero.
Okay. So my response. Yes, so you can push Marty out of the way then. So you don't take that stress.
Alright.
So the pilot house just explodes. All the glass, gets shattered as bullets rip into it, and you watch Perseus step down. He has the box on the ground next to him as he's piloting the boat out. And as you get further away, the bullets just start hitting the back of the hull and then just into the water. Eventually they die down as the dock fades from sight. You hear some shouts like carrying over the water, but it seems like you've made it away, and you breathe a sigh of relief.
Mister,
I just let my head fall against something and just, I'm not in a happy mental state right now.
Understandable. So Percy said, all right, we're, getting to Hoboken.
Oh!
Fucking Hoboken.
There's a truck waiting on the other side. You can use to escape.
We can use to escape.
They won't get shot.
I got hit a couple
times. I got winged.
You want to make some medicine checks for them?
Yeah, I sure will.
You have to make a medicine check.
That's a plus five.
Yeah, okay. You guys can each heal your rightmost stress box.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so you're furthest along. None of them are too badly hurt, but, you patch them up with some gauze, give them a few stitches. It takes you about an hour to get across the water, which is what you do for most of the time. As you get over, Perseus brings the boat up on a pier on the opposite side of the river. One of you more of that?
You're all right?
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? Of course it matters. You have the thing that's going to kill the Titans.
Look, you look over, and Perseus is clutching his stomach. His face is pale. Blood is oozing through his fingers.
No. We were supposed to deliver this thing to you, and you were supposed to get it to the right people to save us.
Sorry.
I'm going to start performing medical attention on him.
He pushes you away. It's not going to make a difference. I can't go to a hospital. And this needs to go.
I mean, you could try to hide you somewhere until you survive.
Maybe I can come with you, but they're going to use their mages to find out who was there. And use their postcogs to identify all of you. I'm sorry. You can't go home.
But... Well, my stuff is home.
I know. The only way to go back is to go forward.
What you said?
I have to go east.
I have a wife and I have a daughter. And you're saying I can never see him again?
No. I have a wife and I have a son. The only way you could see them again is to carry out this mission. Look, this box, what's inside this box, is part of a device. I don't know what it is. They didn't tell us. Compartmentalized information. But this can be used to get rid of the goos once and for all. And if you can do that, you can go home.
All right. Then, since you're the person who can make me see my wife and daughter again, then you're going to let me perform medical...
I can't... He coughs, and you watch as blood is coughing. You make a medicine check before you...
Got a plus four.
Plus four. All right, so from looking at him and being a trauma surgeon, he got shot through, and he's coughing up blood. So he's definitely bleeding internally. He needs to go to a hospital. You could stabilize him a bit.
Bruin's better than it's stuck in his gut.
Yeah, but it punctured everything along the way.
He's probably going to need, like, units of blood. And
yeah, he's going to need blood. He's going to need major surgery. Mm. You could save his life in a hospital, but you can't go to a hospital. Yeah. That's what he's like. Right, he knows he's done.
I got you.
I'm sorry. He hands you the box, Meyer. You need to take this to Los Angeles. There's a person there. R. Oppenheimer. That's who we were supposed to bring it to. He points, and you can see there's a truck. Parked on the roadside of the pier.
Is it an ice cream truck?
No, it's a unless it says a Hermes messenger service on the side.
For delivery truck?
No. Yeah.
I might actually still have the picture from last time.
I think you'll get the diaper truck.
No, it's okay. It's not a diaper truck. Google's pulling up the picture. Yeah, it's like this, except instead of Oscar Mayer ice, it says Perseus delivery service.
Hermes.
Oh. Hermes. Keep messing up my names.
It's Alex. Your name is Alex.
And you only have one name. It's Alex.
No, I have more than one name. I'm Alan. I'm Alex.
Alex!
Please. I don't know your name, but I'm sorry. You could see your wife and your daughter again. Get this to Oppenheimer. There's... The truck's gassed up. The keys are in the glove compartments. There's ID... and papers for a cross-country delivery trip. Mm-hmm. We were only expecting one person, though, so I don't know what you're going to do about the rest of you. Please, the fate of humanity rests on you.
Oh, that's it all? That's it? Just the fate of humanity rests on us?
Yeah. No pressure, I know.
And we got to get across... We got to get to... Where do we got to go?
Los Angeles.
In L.A.
Yeah.
Is there an atlas in the book, in the truck as well, at least?
It's an old one, but yeah. We managed to scrounge up an old atlas. I don't know what's changed since then. Probably a lot. But you're our only hope. If they capture us and get this back, then all of this is for nothing. Whoa. And your lives are over for nothing.
Oh man, I feel bad. That old man's not going to have his radio.
Look, you guys get off. I'm gonna pilot the boat away, so hopefully they'll chase after me and give you some more time to get away. I'm sorry to do this to you.
No, it's fine.
It's not fine.
You're good men. And if this works, all of humanity will owe you a debt. But please, you have to go forward. Oppenheimer, Los Angeles. Good luck.
Well, does anyone know how to drive?
I do.
It's stick.
I mean, they're all stick.
No. I have a drive at three, I think I'm all right.
Does anyone know how to drive? I do. It's stick. Well, we're walking.
Come on, Marty, I'll sit up front with you.
Thanks.
He's only got papers for one. We should all probably stuff ourselves in the back.
Oh, I'm sorry. They have papers for two.
Oh, okay.
A driver and a co-pilot.
Mm-hmm. Like, God, I have most of your news. So.
Yeah, you too. So yeah, you guys get off the boat, and Perseus reverses it, and you watch as he just sort of
pilots into Reversius.
Pilots, fuck you.
Reverse.
He pilots it down the river and just sort of fades away into the darkness.
Eric, you all these pencils.
Okay.
Fold yourself 9 times.
Fold yourself 10 times.
Do you guys get in the truck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't go home.
I think the sooner the better, right?
None of us can.
Yeah. You gotta put some miles between us and the special police.
All my tools are there.
It's all complaining. Because you don't have a child, do you? You have no one to go back home to. So you don't just shut up.
All right? My child are dead, man.
Mine are.
Alright, so you guys...
quit bragging!
you guys get in the truck. In the glove compartment are the keys and papers for an authorized cross-country trip.
Alright.
There's also a 1930 Atlas. It's worn, some pages are missing, but the map of across the country is there. Like the country ride road map. There's a planned route drawn in.
Kind of like the Oregon Trail.
There's lots of question marks along the way because they're not sure what's happened to the country since then.
Over to California way.
So, yeah, like you're... They know how the roads are through Jersey, but after that...
It's shitty.
Yeah, well, who knows?
I mean, the roads and shit. Road Jersey are shitty anyway. You can't make a left turn.
But like I said, they know the roads exist.
No.
After that, they're not sure.
I'm guessing there's no such thing as the interstate highway system because that was, what, the early 50s that they built that?
So it's going to be a long, tough trip.
We'll just use our Easy Pass.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to have to pay. No, you have to pay the tolls by cash.
And also advance Easy Pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, Eric, make a drive check.
All right.
As the rest of you. So, Ryan gets in the passenger seat. The rest of you get in the back.
I have a drive of 3. So, at least that cancels that out.
That's Ryan, make a notice roll.
Okay. Plus 3.
The parking brake's on.
So with you as lookout and Marty driving, you manage to get through Hoboken. You're moving slowly. You're being careful. So as you're coming out, the sun's starting to rise, and you're starting your journey across this strange new world to get to Los Angeles and deliver whatever this thing is to someone. And that's where we're going to end the game. So that was Escape from New York.
We're escaping to LA from New York. Isn't it supposed to be the other way around?
Which was definitely the first time we played that.
Yep. Oh, yeah, never played.
First time I played it.
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm sorry you got separated from your family, Meyer.
That's fine.
But the only way back is through. And you have something to fight for. You gotta get home.
Oh my god, I have no skill in fighting.
I can't go back to my job. And
something to strive for. And you can get skills. I think it's based on milestones, so I have to double check. If this gets picked up, you will have gotten experience points or whatever from this.
We don't do XP in Fate. It's I'll take the usual amount. There's minor milestones and major milestones.
It lets you rearrange your skills or change your aspects and get... refresh and stuff.
Speaking of, if this gets picked up, where do you see it going if it gets picked up?
So if it does, it's going to be basically a road trip game, making your way across the country to deliver this package to R. Oppenheimer in L.A. There's some weird and strange things out there because the country has changed a lot in the 30 years since the Great Old Ones took over. You'll be able to get magic abilities and special powers, and fights monsters. It's more of a pulp game than a horror game. So you'll be able to fight monsters and kill things and meet weird people who are living out in the wilderness of America, and hopefully, get this package to Los Angeles and survive the trip. So that's the plan. If it does get picked up, I'm excited for you guys to find out how to get special abilities, because it's fun and horrible at the same time. Mm-hmm. Fun for me, horrible for you.
Fun river.
Oh my god, is it like hanging out with Eric?
Except he said fun for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no.
Okay.
Alright, so I hope you guys enjoyed that.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
That was episode one of Ameri-Nomicon.
It felt like it was the first time I've ever played.
Episode 1B.
Yeah. 1B. Alright, I hope you listeners enjoyed it too. Remember to vote for your two favorites pilot season games. Those are the ones you're going to get picked up, and those are the first ones we're going to run. So this is the final one. So by the time you're listening to this, the poll will be up. So vote.
Vote or die.
It's important. Vote early, vote often.
Yeah.
And
vote for me.
Vote for me. No, don't vote for James.
Vote for James.
No. Vote for James.
Will.
Actually, you can vote for James, but also vote for me. Because you vote for two.
Vote for
actually,
Will.
No. Everyone vote for Eric.
No.
We're going to start a campaign to make Eric win, so he has to run his game.
Big eyes, small mouth.
Big eyes, small mouth. Big eyes, small mouth.
I need to make a character for that.